Don't you love how he says that? He's like, and the one and only Ray Ray. I feel like we're going to like a cage fight or something.
Yes, no fighting, please. Good morning. How are you guys today? You can do better than that. How are you today? Yes. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. I need to use my inside voice with this microphone. Sorry about that. I just want to remind you guys, right after lunch, we are announcing the hashtag winners and giving out those cash prizes. So if you haven't already finished up your assignments, they're all on Danny's Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you want to make sure that you're in the room right after lunch, so no extended lunches if you've entered to win and you have to be here to win the prizes. So just look on Danny's social medias for the assignments. Post those assignments, hashtag my first steps, and I'm going to go do the judging now. So,
nice.
I'll see you guys after lunch. Ciao.
Better be nice to Ray Ray, because she's the judge. Make sure if you are competing in that contest that you come back early when we open up the doors, because we'll be jumping on stage a few minutes before session starts to announce the winners. So just be back a little early for that, because we'd hate to call your name and you not be here and not get the cash. So, well, welcome to day two of First Steps to Success in San Antonio, Texas. Who's got the biggest belt buckle on in the room? Is it me?
Yes!
I'm a real Texan now. Sweet. I've only been here like 5 years, so... But my grandma will be proud that I've returned to my roots. So, well, cool. Well, welcome to day two of First Steps to Success. I really didn't think I was going to have the biggest buckle in the room. I was trying to point somebody else out, so I didn't mean to win that contest. Is it? I'll bet it glitters up here. Who found something yesterday that they know is powerful that they can take home with them and apply action to? Awesome. You got it documented, got it written down, you got it highlighted so you don't forget. Because Danny's going to come out today and she's going to pour into you and she's going to give you absolutely everything that she has. So I would highly encourage you to stay engaged, to pay attention. If you need to get up and use the restroom or whatnot, go out, do that, but then come right back in. Don't get distracted. Don't let the busyness of whatever else is going on around you, the people chit-chatting, playing with this or that, or things to distract you from what you have for this weekend, because there's something that she's here to give to you, and there's something that you came here that you are ready to receive. How many of you came into this weekend wanting a breakthrough, wanting to see something change in your life, wanting to see something change in your community, your families, your business? Okay, that is what today is about. She's going to give you strategies today that'll transform dynamically different places of your life. Your finances are never going to be the same after today. Your companies are never going to be the same after today. Your families are never going to be the same after today. She went through a lot of stuff yesterday, and it was a foundation for what she's going to teach you today. So plug in, pay attention, and you're going to be amazed at what comes out of her mouth, and speed write those notes because she can talk. We are audio recording the weekend for you. That was part of your registration, so you're actually going to have an MP3 recording from the entire event that you can go back and study and review for your notes. So that is our gift to you. That is part of your registration for the weekend. And so we for years and years and years, we sold those. That was an additional cost. And so we've decided we want to give each and every person that's attending this weekend access to the MP3. So, yeah. So utilize that. Go back and listen to that because that's powerful. If you have a cell phone, I would guess that 99.9% of us in the room own a cell phone. Am I correct? All right. If we can silence those or turn those off, that would be great. Please no audio or video recording the weekend. You are welcome to take some photos, but we're professionally audio and video recording the weekend. So if you can just honor that, that's part of the audio release agreement that you signed when you walked in the door. And then you can take as many photos as you like, but we're giving you the recording for that. Your seat is going to be your seat for the day. So just please honor everybody's seats while we do some different sessions today and come back from lunch. Like Jackie said yesterday, if the person sitting to your left and to your right is not who you were sitting with this morning, there's a chance that one of you is in the wrong spot. So, and we just want to say welcome back to those that are watching internationally, because we've got an international crowd I'm watching via replay. So welcome to our international crowd as well. How many of you own something from DannyJohnson.com, a product from DannyJohnson.com? Okay. How many of you have pushed play on it and listened to it? All right, trick question, right?
Yeah, I bought it.
Okay, yeah, the key is actually pushing play. So if you don't have something to walk home this weekend with and apply and study and study and study, I would highly suggest that you just stop by the resource table and see what they have to offer. They literally have Danny trainings back there as cheap as $10. They've got discounted bundles as cheap as $30, as well as a 35% discount on everything that she has back there. So if you're the type of person that is just like, no, I don't want a $10 CD. I don't want a $30 book package. I just want to get everything. I want to save 35% and just jump in. Yesterday we had said that we were going to do a free insider membership with the first few people that had bought the DannyJohnson.com University. What an insider membership is it's discounted fast track tickets to close seating for future events that you come to. It's discounted First Steps to Success tickets where you have a discounted price to attend a future event. It is exclusive discounts to special products that DannyJohnson.com is releasing. It is, we give you first dibs on anything that we offer to the general public. You guys have first access to anything that she offers. Exclusive bonuses that we only give insiders. So that item alone is worth far more than it retails for. But they're going to give today the first seven people that decide they want to step up and get the Danny Johnson University. They're going to give you a free year of Insider with that. But that's only for the first seven people today. And then, so I just wanted to let you know that we decide. Usually I don't extend that offer on Sundays. Usually that's only on Saturdays. But you are an unusual breed. You're a crowd with energy and enthusiasm and hunger. And so, yeah, and you're different than a lot of the places we've been to. So I want you to know that we see that in you as a team, and we wanted to give you the chance to be able to invest in yourself and get an extra bonus for that. So at this point in time, I want you to put your hands together and help me welcome an individual that is worth listening to. It's worth paying attention. I would recommend that you document this man's story and take a photo with him. Ask him how he's doing what he's doing, because you're going to be absolutely amazed by the life transformation, the transformation in his community and his country, and what he's doing internationally around the world. Put your hands together and help me welcome Andrzej Lanka.
Morning! Oh, you're so kind. Thank you. Latvia. That's the country. Yes, my name is Andrzej Lanka, and I'm from Latvia. Those of you that are still thinking and wondering which state is that, or maybe that's Canada. No, it's in Europe, and it's somewhere in between Sweden, Finland, and Russia. So we're close to the big brother. And actually, my country was part of Soviet Union until 1991, and my story is this, that I'm a language teacher. That's how I started in 1996. I started my language school and hated it. That was the only thing that I could do on the weekends, because we were newlyweds and I was still a student, and I was coming home only on the weekends from my school, and that was the only thing that I could do at that time. Teach some part-time, like lessons on Friday evenings, Saturdays, and why I hated it was that because I had this kind of stigma in my mind, that kind of picture that our teachers are never rich, they never make money, they have these big co-classes and their kids don't like them, and And I was like, oh man, that's going to be me. So for the first 3 years of my career, I was like not very a happy camper. But then I started seeing results in other people's lives, seeing that they start getting grip of that language that they were so unfamiliar with. Because during the Soviet time, it was absolutely meaningless to study foreign languages. Well, we knew Latvian and Russian. That was that we were bilingual because the state had two languages. But there was no point for us to study any other language because we never got out. See, like that's many of you don't travel, Americans. I don't understand that, but but for us, we couldn't. If we wanted to, we couldn't get out. And if you wanted to express like you wanted to go out and visit your relatives living somewhere abroad, why? You wouldn't be let out in most cases. So, long story short, I was building my language school until 2008. We were pretty good in our city of 60,000 and had about 70, 80 students and a couple teachers. And but at the same time, running a business requires some knowledge, not only enthusiasm. And there were some areas that I was lacking skill at, and so long, our business was $60,000 in red at that time, 2008. Just to kind of get that picture in a context, salaries in Latvia are different. At that time, 2008, average salary was about $600-$700 a month. So to have a $60,000 overdraft is a lot of stress. So I was looking for solutions, and one of my friends happened to see Danny on a satellite program and suggested that I Google her up because she was telling on how it's easy to get out of debt. And so I Googled her up. You know, I come from a post-Soviet country, so we're very suspicious of you Americans. She was American, so I had to Google up it twice. Seemed fine. I come also from a kind of church background, so I had to buy a book where she talks about that stuff. So I bought Spirit-Driven Success and read it in 2 hours, cried most through all of it. Found that, yes, there's the thing is legit, it's sound, and I can trust it. And that's how my journey started. Long story short, 2008, we were $60,000 in debt and about 70, 80 students. 2011 was our first million-dollar year in Latvia. And so that's using the skills that Danny teaches. Nothing changed much. Latvia still is where it is. Salaries are what they are, except my skills changed and the skills of our team changed. And we grew our team to currently we're 100 and plus staff working in several countries already. So that's all thanks to these skills that Danny teaches, and they're very practical. My favorite product is War on Debt. When I saw that it's published, I ordered it, and over the Christmas break, just goofing around, I thought, okay, I'll watch it, and I did. Thankfully, my wife was busy with our four children at that time. She didn't see it. And when I finished watching it, I made sure that she doesn't see it. I hid it because I was not ready to change. That hurt. I immediately pinpointed several areas like my coffee habit, my going eating out habit. No, I'm not. No. If my wife hears that, and then it's two women coming at me. No. So I hid that product for about a half a year. And so, you know how men we can be stupid? And then, but of course, you know, debt is debt. It doesn't run away. So finally, I gave up to that, and I started following directions. And when I started following directions and using the skills that she teaches, myself alone, I saved about $400-$500 every month. I found that, oh man, I have so much. I'm spending such in such a stupid way. So that immediately helped our family budget. Because if you don't watch it, you can just keep working harder, but working harder never solves the problem. For our business, that's been phenomenal. We enjoy working in several countries. Also, what it does also to our community. Now, this is, as you heard, this is professionally recorded, and it's been streamed in different countries in Europe. And I'm very, very thankful to DannyJohnson.com for providing that opportunity, because not everybody can fly over from Europe. And so if you have any friends in Europe, or Latvia in particular, or neighboring countries, just come and talk to me, because we have several countries where we're doing that, and we would like to have your friends take part of that opportunity. That's such a fantastic thing, because it's really this A to Z, the same thing what you're taking part here, like Saturday morning. We also do the forgiveness session, everything. It's right there. And so it's 2 days. People take part in it. We've done it already in Norway. We've done it also, myself, I was in Norway, in Germany, and we've done Latvia. We have all sorts of people coming. And this is something that I want you, I want to encourage you that your life is not your own, and the seeds that you receive should be also going towards others. And so I'm now enjoying the fact that there are people in Latvia, in my own country, that are studying and learning, and I have no idea who they are. They are coming to these video replays, and I'm hearing, whoa, we have that celebrity come to the event. Whoa, we have that politician suddenly arrive. Wow. And I have no idea how they ended up at those events, but I'm very happy for that. Because when Dani was in Latvia, she blessed our people tremendously. And we have people that have, like in 9 months, there's one family. They had a mortgage till 2022. When they learned the principles of war and debt, they really went after it, and the $19,000 mortgage was done in 9 months. And that's in Latvia. Like, always think about those contexts. It's different. It is different money. Our salaries are lower, but people still achieve results. So when you're thinking that you may be in a community, or your life, the situation is maybe not as glamorous as others, you can still be fruitful. You can still be successful in the context where you're coming from, and be a blessing towards others. And it's just such a fantastic thing that we can do that together. Our staff have come over, and this is another thing that I can encourage you. If you have teams or you're building teams, my suggestion is just buy the whole DJU and do a very simple thing: push play. Okay, that's what I did. Well, one of my staff, she was a teacher. We started a business in a new city. She went there. We helped her with some students in the beginning, and she said, "Okay, what should I do to be successful at this?" I said, "I don't know. All I know is this CD helped me, this CD helped me, and that CD helped me. Why don't you listen to those CDs?" And she did. She did listen to these CDs. She listened to each of it twice. And she wrote me a report. Sent me an email that she's done it, just to keep her accountable. And in a matter of 9 months, she grew that business from 12 students to 140 students. So, and nobody had done that before. Yes. And so that was a no-brainer. If we see a successful person who's following directions, you just make her a CEO. That's simple. That's what we did. And now that same person is helping to facilitate these video replays in Latvia, and is doing tremendously, very successfully. And so, with all that, please, are you ready? Yeah. Are you ready to take notes? Because this is not a repeat of yesterday. This is something new. This is something that you haven't heard yet, and you need it. And your communities need that. Your families need that. So are you ready to take copious notes? Yeah. Are you ready to act on what you're learning? Yeah. Then help me please welcome America's favorite millionaire, Danny Johnson. Woo. There we go. I have a gift. Another thing that DJC allows us to do is to translate materials, and the latest one is the gems.
So,
yeah. So, and those of you, if you have some Russian friends, I have with me some books, The First Steps to Wealth in Russian, so you can come and get that from me and be a blessing in their lives.
Amazing. Wow, gems. It's being translated in Latvian.
Yeah, the study course and the CDs will come a little later, but yeah, the book was already done.
That's amazing.
It is. Thank you.
No, you're amazing. This man put 1,000 people in front of me in 3 days. I did a tour in Latvia a year ago, March. That's insane amount of work. He had politicians there, business people, teachers, every kind of background that you can imagine that was in 3 different meetings that we did and just packed the house out every single day. And then translating all 3 books.
All 3 books are in Latvian, and then this and also Sprint Driven Success is in Russian, and this also is in Lithuanian, and we'll keep going.
Which is amazing, right? You know, small town girl who didn't graduate from high school when I was supposed to, and you know, dyslexic. Books are being translated in Russian, Latvian, Lithuanian. It's in Spanish already, an Indonesian language. These are publishers from around the world that have bought the rights to publish the books in their own languages. And so it blows my mind. And he's working on another translation right now.
Mm-hmm. We constantly work on something.
Chinese is one of them. The book is already actually in Korean as well, a Korean dialect. A Korean publisher did that years ago with Grooming the Next Generation for Success, which was a shock. Portuguese is being worked on, all kinds of crazy stuff. But it's amazing how you never know who's in the room. And by the way, you didn't say this, but his friend handed him, he got a hold of Spirit Driven Success. He read the book in 2 hours on an airplane and wept over what was being spoken out of that book. That book's gone all over the world, and that was the book, by the way, that was written in 2 weeks.
Yes.
That I was told I had to have a book in order to speak in front of those 6,000 people. That was that book. It's literally gone all over the world, and I would never in a million years imagine, A, that I'd write a book, B, that it'd be translated in so many different languages, C, that we would meet somebody like this through the book, right? That we'd meet someone like this through the book who has a passion for transforming Europe, and is doing it. I mean, he stuck his neck on the line to hold First Steps to Success in Latvia, and we are doing the first live First Steps to Success in Latvia in December.
Yes, yes, so, yes, yes.
Yeah.
We have only 10 tickets for Americans, okay?
It's a beautiful country, and if you wanted to tour around Northern Europe, this is your time to do that. You know, it is. It's close to Finland, Norway.
It's just 1 hour. You hop to Paris, hop to Rome, and we have low-cost airlines, like $100 return. You see Paris or Oslo or Rome or Stockholm, easy.
Mm-hmm. Stockholm is the most beautiful city I've ever seen in the world. And I'm not a city person by any stretch of the imagination, but Stockholm is by far. I've been to Rome. I've been to some of the Paris. You know, people have to go to say they went. Filthy, dirty city. But, you know, has so much history and blah, blah. Anyway, but Stockholm, Sweden is by far the most stunning city I have ever seen in my life. It's absolutely gorgeous. But all the different places that you can get to from Latvia.
Yep. Easy. Russia. Russia is 1 hour flight.
Mm-hmm. And that's an amazing sight. Russia is an amazing, amazing sight. It's wild to be there on the ground. He actually came to the event that we were invited to do there by the Russian Congress. And I was blown away by the architecture in Russia. But one of the ways to just learn about culture and to really broaden who you are as a person is to go see the world. Mm-hmm. Go see these cultures, taste the food, experience the language. It's really a profound thing to do. And I recommend that you do it, but maybe in December might be a good time. I'm heading to India to do a pastor's conference there and see my babies. I have 304 boys there that we are the sole providers for. We've just finished building them a university, a school, a huge campus, 60,000 square feet. So I'm heading there to see my sons, the sons of the martyred ones. And on my way, I'll be stopping in Latvia for a 3-day.
And we've been working on that for how long?
I know. Years.
It's
years,
good.
Years and years oh, and years
awesome.
And
Thank
years.
You.
So, yeah, we're going to do it. It's a done deal. And so we're heading over there to Latvia. Might be good for some of you to go see the world. And
please do.
And write it off. You'll get to write the trip off because, you know, Uncle Sam, at least if you're from America, you know, this is a business trip. So you need to do some market research in Latvia, Russia, Finland, Sweden, Norway, France. Yeah. Go do some market research in those places and write your entire trip off and attend First Steps to Success all 3 days.
And if I may ask you to do that, because those of you that come to these events on a regular basis, you've been such an encouragement to us to hear your stories.
Yep.
Because my story has been already heard in Latvia, and most of them don't believe it. To hear many more stories from different countries, and because there will be people and there will be lunch times and lunch breaks, and you'll get to see, they'll get to go out and meet different people, and for them to hear that this is real and there are many more people that are not part of like their organization, like staff. But really the clients, and that are willing to come out from the United States and fly out to Eastern Europe, that would speak tremendously to many people there. So I would definitely encourage you to come out. And it's not that expensive. If I'm here, it's not that expensive, okay?
And you've been here
This is my 15th trip.
15th trip from Latvia to here. So it's an amazing commitment that he's made into learning. And so, and you paid off your debt how fast? Paid off your $60,000?
In a matter of 8-9 months.
That's incredible. I mean, from flat broke to now profitable in business and growing that language school from 75 students to now 2,000?
More than 2,000 at the moment already, yes. Mm-hmm.
Hello? Mm-hmm. And your first event was?
The first live event was 2011 October.
Mm-hmm. 2011 in October was the first event. Shortly after that, pays off all the debt. Shortly after that, reaches $1 million for his business. Give me a break, you know, and how fast did you go from 75 students to over 2,000 students?
In a matter of, I would say, a year and a half, 2 years. Mm-hmm. It's, see, these
eight employees to 135 employees? Mm-hmm. That's just astounding to me, and he has been a hound dog with First Steps to Success, getting it in Latvia, bringing people here from Latvia to a warrant, because we go where we're deserved, not where we're needed. So he's shown the effort, you know, putting 1,000 people in front of us in 3 days and just working those contacts like crazy. And oh my gosh, we say, yeah, we'll come for 3 days. Yeah, you use our time. Man, he is a slave driver.
You told me to provide you with work. I did.
Oh my gosh, man. It was like, dang. Like every minute of my day was taken with meeting people, doing presentations, whatever.
I did feel sorry for her at the end. I had never seen her that tired.
I was exhausted. I was absolutely exhausted. But it was an amazing thing. Got to spend time with his family in his home, which was really awesome. And see the home that he got to purchase as an investment that he's renovating and doing all these wild things with to use it as a place of... Mm-hmm. providing things for other people.
It's very practical, like because what Danny teaches, the results, we actually have them in us already, the potential for that. I did say that already a couple months ago, I think in Orlando, but there are these certain things that we're not using right, and she will be teaching also this afternoon about that. For example, how to get out of debt. Like, we have the money to do things,
except
that we don't watch after it and it goes into wrong places. Or we have the potential, we have the skills, we have the opportunities. You may think, no, I don't have the skills or the opportunities. Yes, you do. Let me say, any native speakers here? Who speak English, native speakers? Some, okay? So the thing is, you have something that's your domain, and many of you have already figured out, I'll never be as good as in English as you are. But I've made multiple seven figures with something that you haven't made a dollar with, probably. And that's just language.
Ow.
And that's language. Talk about... and please hear it seriously. When she mentions the contacts that you have, those are yours. I cannot access them unless you give me the pin to your phone. Okay? The community that you're part of, the things, the company or the organization or the people that you're surrounded with, you have things already. And so what Danny teaches is the practical application of suddenly seeing what you have. And using that.
Yes.
Because nothing really changed in Latvia in that context from me being $60,000 in debt to going to over a million. But geographically or financially in the country, economically. But what changed in me was that, for example, practically, that I have to be proactive in sales. That I don't have to be just sitting and waiting for my clients to show up and be nice to them. Which sounds very ridiculously simple and common sense, but you know that common sense is not that common, and it wasn't also in my case. I was, for some time, just sitting and waiting, and that's just dumb. So what I did to make that $1 million was I went after the opportunity, and I was active. And you know what? When you make a decision, God blesses you with opportunity. When you make the decision to go after it and to be serious, God gives you the chance. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to succeed. That's why he provides you with those opportunities in different areas of your life.
Yeah, amen.
So, yeah, thank you, Jenny, for that.
You're awesome. You're a blessing.
Thank you.
Well, I'm excited about what the future holds for you, and I'm excited about what we're going to be able to do together as a team, together, affecting nations together, and I just continue to call you Mr. Latvia, because, you know, you're such an example to all of us Americans, because we're so scattered here in our mindsets, but you have such a love for your country, and you have a love for the countries that are surrounding your country, that you really believe that you can transform the nation. And that's inspiring to all of us. Like, you've taken on as a personal responsibility, it's your job to transform the nation. You know how your life has been transformed, so you're just going after person by person by person and using your business as a way to do that. And a lot of people that are in business just are in it for themselves, or they just want the change for their own family. They paid off debt. Okay, that's my blessing. But they don't share that blessing with anybody else. Or they might share it with their friends or their family or some of their coworkers, but you're sharing it with the nation and nations around you. And that's profound to me. It inspires me. It holds me accountable. It causes me to have a little bit bigger of a mindset than the one I got. It really does, because, it's a heck of a challenge to take on. But you've taken on that mantle of, I'm going to bring change to my nation, nations that are around me, and you're completely dead serious about it. And we're really, really proud of you. We're proud of your family, your wife, your beautiful kids, and the families that are connected to you, and the lives that you've transformed. You really are a rare, rare gem, and I believe that Latvia will see that and see that that this time in history, that these changes have happened, the economy had changed, and families' lives have changed, and families have gotten out of pits, and they've learned how to groom their kids for success. Oh, yeah. They've learned how to manage finances. They've learned how to grow in their relationship with God because of what you did, because of the trailblazing that you made happen, and all the hard work and all the effort and all the seed that you've sown in Latvia and now in Russia and in other countries around your area. Those things are going to come back, fruit multiplied back to you tremendously. So I am really grateful for your example, because it does challenge me tremendously.
Thank you.
God bless you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. So, how awesome. Andres, I think I stole your pen. But I'm keeping this. I'm going to frame that. Oh, man, you know, you never, ever know where your life is going to go, right? You never, ever know. Man, right? Joseph from the barn. We never could have foreseen books being translated in books, number one. We didn't even see that. Number two, we could have never foreseen books being translated in other nations. And people like this doing what they've done. It's really an honor and a privilege. I want to introduce you to Joseph Isinger and his beautiful wife, Lori. Joseph has been with us for 10 years. He started with us in our barn. Hans and I started our company in our my bedroom, his office, and then we moved it into our barn that we transformed into a little office. And Joseph, actually, his first interview was in Starbucks with me. When I asked him what he liked about his job, he said he loved the security, and I'm like, we were a brand new company, a little startup, no security here, baby. We might be out of business tomorrow. We have no idea, and if God says to close the doors, we're going to do it. And so he goes, but don't let that stop you, Danny. I want to be a part of this. We see all the testimonials that are coming because he was on a prayer team praying for all of our clients. He saw the testimonies, the miracles, all that stuff, and he's just like, I got to be a part of this. So I don't care about my secure job. I would do anything. I would clean out the gutters. I will take out the trash. I will sweep off the leaves. I will do anything to be a part of this. And it's been 10 years that he and his wife have been a part of this organization. Please stand up, turn around. He handles all the books in our business. He's our finance manager. Stand up, you two. Turn around, say hello. As honest comes, as loyal comes, amazing amount of integrity, high ethics. We are so very blessed to have the chance to work with people like Joseph and Lori, and he's pretty much been an historian with us as well. He's like, Danny, from the barn, man, from the barn. Can you believe this? So anyway, it's fun. To have watched him and his family grow, and them to watch me and my family grow, and to watch this whole family grow. So it's been awesome. Okay, so how many of you were with us last night? Was that not just the most timely sword of truth that we all needed and weapons that have been put in our hands? And yes, man, what a blessing. I really enjoyed my time with you guys. I hope you were able to get some good rest and had some good private time with other individuals up here. I thoroughly enjoyed being with you. You guys have been just soaking it up, and I love that. Those are the best groups of people to be with, are the ones that are hungry and starving for information and ready to apply it. Well, this morning, we are going to, if I can get information from Mona, because that'll determine which direction I'm going to go in. Does anyone have Mona on comm to find out whether or not that box was found? The box has not been found?
Not yet.
But has the box been confirmed that it's here?
No, sir.
Meaning we haven't been able to reach the source.
Not yet, ma'am.
Thank you. You're awesome. Thank you so very much. I appreciate that accuracy and the efficiency. So that does give me some direction of which way we're going this morning. Thank you. Some of you have been to First Steps in Creating a Dynasty. You know exactly what just happened. For those of you who have not, you're about to find out what just happened. Okay, so we are going to move further and deeper into understanding different types of personalities. And so you are going to be learning a teaching that is called GEMS. GEMS is a personality teaching, and learning how to motivate yourself and learning how to motivate others, discovering your strengths and weaknesses and discovering the strengths and weaknesses in others. This is a very deep and very detailed experience. You're going to have a ton of fun learning this. You're going to learn how to help more people. You're going to become more efficient in your interactions with people, as well as you're going to learn how to go straight to the top, obliterating the number one person that's inside of whatever organization you're a part of. And you're going to annihilate your entire competition as a direct result of learning these particular skills. So get ready, because all four of these things are coming at you. They're going to come at you fast. We're going to work together to change the shape of this room, actually. And so we're going to need a lot of cooperation to be able to move this exercise through very, very quickly. Pull out a piece of paper and a pen, fresh piece. And you're going to take your pen. You're going to draw a line from the top of the page to the very bottom. And from the left side to the right side, straight down the middle. It's going to create four quadrants, if you will. How many have ever taken a personality test? Okay. I did too. 25, 26 years ago, I took a personality test. And it was one of those tests that you were given four words, and you're supposed to circle one of the words that you felt like described you. How many of you took that test? I was completely confused. Number one, I felt like I needed a thesaurus because I didn't understand at least 25% of the room words that were on there. You know, so there were four. I'm like, I don't know what any of these actually mean. So it's like, guess, I guess we'll try that one. All right, leave it blank. So I know that I jacked the test up, and I know it didn't read me, you know, according to really what my personality was, just because of my lack of knowledge and understanding of the English language. So, but it did tell me something, and there's two revelations that I had. Number one, that there were four different types of people. Wow. That was like such a trip to me. How many of you, when you first you took your first personality test, you had the same, like, ta-da, wow, that's interesting. There's four different types of people. Not everybody is like me. So that was the first revelation. The second was is that I told you yesterday that the first millionaire that I had the chance to learn from told everybody in the room to learn more about people than you do your product or your service, and you'll be unusually successful. So this kind of, between that and the personality test, that kind of put me on this path of studying people. There's market studies happening every day, all the time. Major corporations spend a ton of money in markets research, studying you, studying your habits, studying what causes you to vote with your dollar, studying what you're attracted to, colors that you like, different types of frills and bells and whistles and all kinds of stuff, because they want to capture your money. So they study people to see what people want, and they then sell what people want. So we're going to do a real quick market research with the four different personalities right here, right now. The very first gem, and by the way, if you're taking a personality test, you already know who you are. This just has a different name, and the name seems a bit more edifying than some otter, a beaver. I'm a beaver. Wow. Or a red and a blue. I'm a blue. Gems is, first of all, you're looking at the creator of gems. You may have done gems in other places, but this is where gems was originated 25 years ago. I created gems. It's a different way of learning different personalities, because the other way with all these words and paper and stuff like that is just like, okay, non-applicable. You're going to learn this in a very applicable way where all your senses are going to be involved in discovering a personality of another individual. So it's going to stick with you really powerful. You're going to leave the event going, oh, that's a ruby. Hey, he's an emerald over there. Okay, which is hilarious because there's like this inside code language that happens with First Steps to Success graduates. And that's why, you know, in cases like Mr. Latvia, and he's brought his entire staff through the events, they all are like, oh, I just got off the phone with a Ruby man. You know, so everyone knows, like, code jerk. you're on the phone. We know. It's like, that guy's a total Ruby man. He was totally rude to me, blah, blah, blah. So we know how to handle the Ruby. I'm not saying all Rubies are rude, but it's pretty much... Rubies definitely have a reputation of being a little pushy, can pressurize some people. You know, oh my gosh, that guy was a total sapphire. Yeah, no, I mean, you'll see, you're going to have a code language after you're all done. Please don't hear me. What's that? What did he say? A squirrel, that was a squirrel. Okay, so we're going to go to it right now. So the very first gem is a sapphire. Oops. That was the weakest sapphire representation I've ever heard. Try again. There we go. So sapphires are the personality that is motivated by fun. They make fun out of everything, okay, in their entire lives. The second gem is a pearl, and the pearl is motivated by service. Their whole life is centered about serving other people. It just comes natural to them. They don't have to think about it. They don't have to force themselves to serve. It is second nature to them. The third gem is called an emerald. And an emerald is motivated by facts. Facts and figures, black or white, there is no gray area. Okay? None at all. It's black or it's white. Pick one. Is it yes or no? There is no such thing as maybe. The word maybe or I don't know drives emeralds crazy. Freaking not! Gosh. Next is a ruby, and a ruby is motivated by a challenge. When they can't win, they become rude. So when I say that earlier, I was on the phone with a ruby that's a customer service rep, they know they're on the phone with a ruby, they know they're in trouble. Because if the answer is no, that ruby is not going to give up until they get the answer that they want, okay? So they are motivated by a challenge at all costs. So those are the four different personality gems. Each have strengths and weaknesses. We're going to move this room to where you're going to sit in your primary gem because you have a primary and a secondary. The primary is the one that you operate in majority of the time. Your secondary is what you operate in second. You have all four gems in you, okay? So do not throw yourself into confusion right now. You have all four. But Danny, I do like to have fun, and I do like to organize, and you know, and I really am motivated by challenge, and I really love serving people. I know. We have all four gems inside of us. All of us do. Some of us really are dominated in one, so it seems like that's all we are. Some of us are really a good split between two. Some of us are split between four. But there's one that we operate in majority of the time, and that's the one that we're looking for right now. So I want you to put an X in the box that you feel you operate in most of the time. If you put the X in the wrong box, you'll figure it out as we do the teaching, and you can always get up your butt and move to the place where your butt should be. Okay, because you're going to be sitting with your own people. You're going to be sitting with your own gem, and you're going to get to feel it. So when you're sitting with the gem that you chose, you'll know whether or not you're in the right place. Because it's such a concentrated group of people, and you'll be like, either really uncomfortable, you're like, yes, these are my people. How do I live with these people every day? Okay, so here's how we're going to do this. We are going to turn the room into this shape, even though it is this shape. Up here on the stage is where the sapphires are going to be. This far left wing over here, raise your hands. This is where the pearl section is going to be. Far right wing over here, raise your hands. This is where the rubies are going to be. And in the back, in a perfect order, in the center, in the back, is going to be where our emeralds are going to be, okay? With the perfect amount of spacing in between chairs because they hate touching each other. They like space. Don't touch me. Don't come into my bubble. So here's what I, oh my gosh, quit touching the emerald. That's not very nice of you. She's going to need counseling. And there's a sapphire petting the emerald. Provoker. That was awesome. Okay. All right. So now what we're going to do is I want you to grab all of your stuff, look around your seat. Some of you have been camping. Grab all of your belongings, your jacket off of the back of your chair, your cups, your trash, your pens, your everything, because no one is responsible for your junk besides you. If there's been a consistent theme here this weekend, it's been you are responsible for you and your own choices, right? So don't move your bodies yet. Just grab your junk, put it on your person. Hold on to all of your stuff. And now I'm going to have to strategically move this room. And in order to do that, we need silence. Thank you. I appreciate that. Sapphires, please raise your hand. Let me see who you are. Wow. There's a lot of you. Okay. Oh, that's awesome. Hi. Sapphires typically think they're the only ones in the room. They do. It's really adorable. Okay. I'm going to say this entire first section of chairs, all of these need to be stacked perfectly organized as a sapphire could so that as many people can fit on the stage to party We need to get all these chairs up on the stage. So no one else move yet until we get all these chairs up on the stage. And if you're not a sapphire, you're just going to take the chair up there, hey girl, and move everything else back. Okay, now, over here with our ruby section, with the seats that you're in, what I need you to do is turn them to face the center of the room. These first chairs on the edge, take them further back. So we're going to start the last row in the very back, and we're going to create rows that are facing this way. And pearls, you are definitely sapphire. She's going to the right place. Okay, and over here, hi, gorgeous. The pearl section, if you guys could take, good to see you again, man.
Thank you.
If you guys could take your chairs, starting with this last row in the back, push the chair to the back. We're going to create rows all facing the center of the room. And I have a feeling that we might need the first few rows to be up with the sapphires as well. Over there. Okay, so let's start with that, and then we'll figure out the chairs from there. All right? Okay, you ready? All right, let's do this thing. What happened to the lights? Are you good? You're fine. You're amazing. Okay. Well, anytime a project is about to be started with a group of people, all four different gems respond a different way. The rubies are the ones that want to take charge, give instructions, and make it happen. And they make it happen very, very fast. They typically want to be first in everything. And so, therefore, they need to learn this other form of leadership that's really important, because the lower level of leadership is being first all the time. It's about a seventh grade level of leadership. The higher level of leadership is learning to raise up other people who are better than you, who have strengths that are better than your strengths. It's a very difficult challenge for a ruby to raise up people who do better, that are better, that accomplish more than they do personally. So, therefore, we're going to go ahead and work the muscle of patience, because it takes patience in order to raise up other great leaders. This one time, just one time, you are going to be last. Okay? Because he who must be
first
must first learn to be
last.
Okay? So you're last. The emeralds don't care where we start. As long as we start in an efficient and timely fashion. The pearls also do not care where I start, as long as I don't start with them, because they hate being the center of attention. So that leaves us with one last option. Guys, it's Ian, right? Yeah, and this is Mr. Frisbee next to you. You have any idea how much trouble you can get into next to that guy next to you? This is so awesome. I love you.
No, you're awesome.
No, you're awesome. No, you're awesome. I received that. Okay, so we're going to start with our sapphires. Now, the sapphires, as you can tell, they're very loud. Okay? They're very expressive, excitable. They are motivators. They're natural born motivators. Each gem has a spiritual gifting. And one of the spiritual gifts of a sapphire is a gift of motivation. They inspire people. They have laughter that is very contagious. They're natural born optimists. You can usually spot a sapphire with their clothing. See, there it is right there. Wait, keep going. You got to get that lime green right there. Okay? So their clothing will typically expose who they are. And so, in fact, the women wear a lot of bling, a lot of neon, a lot of accessories, and there's a lot of damaged hair.
Tiffany, where are you at? Stand up.
Not back in the 80s. It's still today. What the heck are you talking about? Okay? And so there's a lot of damaged hair over here because they like change. Yes. They are spontaneous, and they enjoy things that are ever-changing. They can't stand routines. They don't like things staying the same. And so they get bored very easy. So, yes, I know. So let me get this young lady to stand up. Miss Barb Marley, come on. Yes, come on. Okay, now check out the glasses. Just come out here in the center in the light for me, because this is really, you're really a great. Okay. So we've got the yellow shoes, we've got the turquoise skirt, we got the awesome dreads with 2-3 different colors, the white glasses, okay, the Bob Marley representing, I mean. And this is the casual business dress uniform for a Sapphire. You can go ahead and sit down. Everyone else needed to see you. See, here it is. There we go, okay. And I know we've got some more bling out here somewhere. Okay, bright colors. Come on, ma'am. This bright pink. Okay, bright colors. We sapphires like to wear. Okay, lots of damaged hair. And there's something else that is over here a lot, too. Yes, I know. She's like, you've been every color, right? You've been black. You've been platinum blonde. You've been red. You probably had some purple. Right here, this woman is actually a perfect example. Okay, she's got fuchsia in her hair, platinum blonde, colorful shirts. You can go back. So there's just a lot of expression, okay? These are very outwardly expressive people. Express yourself. Those that you have inside of your family or your coworkers that, you know, dress this kind of way and have lots of accessories and are loud and they laugh a lot and they just, like, they can't help themselves with certain things. My. My. Take a deep breath, my fellow emeralds. I know you are a little overwhelmed. For a moment there, you thought you were at a dance club. But you, however, did not forget that we were at a business, finance, and relationship training seminar. However, the way that God designed his sapphires, when he knitted them together in their mother's womb, he put this in them, that when the music hits, they just can't help themselves. Their body moves. These are the kids in class that doodle. These are the kids that are tapping their pens. These are the kids that are sent to the principal's office for talking all the time. So these are the kids that have a lot of relationships. They verbally process everything. They do not think with their heads. They think with their mouths. Their mind and their mouth are perfectly connected. They are not separated. So they're always talking. I have a sapphire son. He was born screaming, loud. He talked early, comprehended even earlier, picked up sign language so very fast, and has a very profound understanding of people naturally. Very perceptive when it comes to people and how to motivate them. You're gifted with words. Gifted with language. This comes natural to you. You are people who attract a lot of people into your life. You hang out with a lot of people. You do not like to be alone. There has to be noise around you all the time. You can't stand silence. Silence drives you crazy. So you're it. And if it's quiet, you're talking to yourself. You know, if your cell phone is dead and there's no access to noise, you'll create the noise all by yourself. Because you can't handle there to be dead silence. It's very awkward and uncomfortable for you. These are the kids that are still to this day wildly misunderstood. Many of the kids of this personality have been in detention a lot, in trouble a lot, sent to the principal's office a lot. These are also the kids that were told that they would never amount to anything, that they couldn't do anything right, that they would be failures if they didn't study, they'd be failures if they didn't get good grades, they'd be failures if they didn't go to college. That's what these kids were told. And the system, the school system, is so jacked up that they care more about money, more about profits than they do totally grooming the next generation for success, that they've gotten into the pharmaceutical business. The educational world and the pharmaceutical business are in bed together, fornicating to a level of dumbing out the sapphires that are in the schools. You see, this is where innovation lives. Sapphires are innovators. They think outside of the box. They're amazing problem solvers because they don't think within the context of the rules. They think outside of the rules. They think outside of how things have always been done, and they are incredibly creative with everything that they do. So just as sapphires have strengths, they also have weaknesses. So this thinking out of the box, you know, obviously is distracting for a different personality, okay? So these kids have been put on drugs called Ritalin and various other psychoactive drugs, which the most common side effect of Ritalin is suicide and suicidal thoughts. So after the kids are done with Ritalin, then they put them on antidepressants. And they end up with antidepressants as adults. I'm going to ask how many of you, when you were young, because some of you are of the generation that you were put on Ritalin or antidepressants. Yeah, younger. And there's even some adults that are sapphires even now who are on Ritalin or antidepressants. And so, and why? Because the parents nor the teachers knew how to motivate the sapphires. They didn't understand the difference of their form. So they put down and condemned the kids that were late all the time because sapphires and time don't go together. In fact, watch this. How many of you do not wear a watch?
No, I can't say that.
Shocking, isn't it? Okay, wait for the next shock. How many of you do wear a watch, but it doesn't work? Now check this out. So they wear a watch, but it doesn't work. And why do they wear the watch that doesn't work? Because it's an accessory piece. They love accessories. They love to accessorize, okay? Now, how many of you that have a watch that works is set 10 minutes to 30 minutes in advance? Keep watching. And how many of you are still late? Time is not a big priority to them. Being on time is not a high priority to them. And this is the way they were wired, okay? They are not organized. This is not their gift. At all. They've been beat up, put down, and condemned because they're not organized. Their desks during school and their locker during school. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Whereas these kids' locker was perfectly organized, all binders intact. Oh, yes, honey, you absolutely don't belong over there. Yeah. The tattoos, the floral dress, the beaded bling bling band, and the damaged hair gave you away. Because they would not think of doing that. But there could have been the fact that you might have been raised by emerald parents. An emerald parent will try to force their sapphire kid into being an emerald. Force them by force, by condemnation, by discipline, forced into that personality. And honestly, as much as that is a painful thing, we are responsible for our own response, and we have to forgive the lack of knowledge that maybe our parents were given. They were doing the best that they could. They know that it takes to succeed. So, but what that did was, is it developed emerald abilities. So a sapphire kid who has emerald abilities is just unbelievable. It's unbelievably unstoppable. It's a powerful combination to where an emerald kid has been trained. I mean, a sapphire kid has been trained with emerald abilities is awesome. You're much more dependable. You are on time. You are able to solve problems. You're able to communicate with other emeralds. You're not intimidated by those people because sapphires largely are totally scared to death of these people. So these are the people that brought more luggage than everyone else in the room. And I'm going to tell you why. Because they don't make a decision planning ahead. They're not planners ahead. They are live for today. And so they couldn't decide what they wanted to wear, you know, on Thursday, what I was going to wear on Sunday. So they literally just throw a whole bunch of junk inside of a bag. Okay, now take a deep breath, emeralds. Their shoes are not in shoe bags. Their toiletries are not in toiletry bags. The toothbrush and the toothpaste is with the shoes and the clean clothes, not in bags. Everything is just all thrown together. And guess what else? Some of them brought dirty clothes with them. No joke. I'm not going to ask them to raise their hands. But there are many of them that brought dirty clothes with them because at home there are two piles. One is clean, one is dirty. They have no idea which is which. It has to have the smell test to determine whether or not those chonies were worn already. I know I told on you. It's okay. It's who you are. It's the way it is. Okay? Okay, so strengths in business, they have large centers of influence. They are always around people. They are the best promoters in the room. They love talking to people. They love talking on the phone. They have long-standing relationships. How many of you still are friends with your kindergarten friends? Okay, so they have long-term relationships with people. They really are adaptable to change. They actually like change. So these are people that redecorate their houses, move the couch around, put up different color towels in the bathroom. They just don't like things staying stagnant and staying exactly the same. They're creative thinkers. And like I said, their weaknesses are being distracted, not on time. They have a tendency of not finishing things, often late, disorganized, and they have a tendency of rambling. Yes. Okay. They make great business people. And as I said, one of your spiritual gifts is motivation. Inspiration is a spiritual gift that you have. You are a people that really believe in miracles, and you really believe that anything is possible. So that's what you believe. Because you are just completely optimistic. You're very, very optimistic. Many sapphires have two sides to them. And depending on which way they go. So if they are a sapphire ruby, they have super high highs and massive intense lows. Where are you? Who are the high highs and the low lows? Those are the sapphire rubies. The sapphire pearls don't deal with that. The sapphire rubies, like, they love you passionately, and then you tick them off. I hate you, man. So it's like love and hate all in the same, could be all in the same 5 minutes. Yeah. So, yes, where are you? Yeah, I know who you are. I got a son that's like that. Watch the heck out. Dang, man, you're his best friend, always been his best friend, and the next minute, I hate you, I never liked you, I can't even believe that I even know you. Dang, man. It's like, Segway, you're the best product on the face of the planet. No, that thing sucks. Like, wow. It's like flip and a flop. Yeah, completely. Anyway. All right, so I have to move on. I know. It'd just be so much fun to just talk to you forever, but we have to go over here to the pearls. Okay. Next, our pearls are very similar to our sapphires. I like to call it sapphire light. Okay, come on, let's lighters and let's kumbaya. Yeah. Doesn't that just feel so good? Oh, here it comes. Oh, what the heck are you doing over here? That saxophone is amazing, isn't it? Isn't that beautiful? That calm. Listening. Deep breath. Cleansing breath. One more time. Oh, it felt so good. Let's try it again. We love the great outdoors. We love when the weather changes. We love to look at the stars. We love music that calms us down. We love instrumental music. Instrumental music just like it talks to us, speaks to us, ministers to us. A lot of people over here are musicians. Where are you? Okay, so we've got a lot of musicians over here. There's a lot of musicians over there too, musicians over there. Because the reason why I say Sapphire Light is because creativity works between these two places very powerfully. And so the creativity is different. We like to crochet, latch hook, needlework, garden, like to grow our own organic food, make our own pies from scratch, roll out our pasta. Did you see my Facebook post not too long ago? I just had my, you know, this huge amount of pasta that I was rolling out for Shabbat, which is the Sabbath. For Friday night, we had a bunch of guests over, and I made homemade pasta for everybody, a garlic pepper pasta. It was, oh, man, delicious. We like to grow our own tomatoes, roast our own tomatoes, make our own salsa, make our own spaghetti sauce. We like to bottle our own wine, make our own beer. Just everything that is natural. The clothing that we have a tendency of wearing is going to be just very comfortable, nothing binding. We don't like tight belts and things that, you know, bind us. We like to be breathable. We love that, you know, that bamboo cotton and the organic cottons that we like our clothes to be. We don't like to kill trees. We want to recycle. We want to take care of the animals, hug a few trees, eat some seeds, and call it a day. We are motivated by a cause. We really do care about the orphan. We really do care about the widow. We really do care about the sick. We really do care for the poor. And our whole lives are centered around those things. The reason why we work is so that we can care for those who can't take care of themselves. So we are motivated by a cause. That's what we are driven by. We're not driven by our own vision, ourselves, but it's more of a collective vision of helping humanity and helping the world to be a better place. And we feel like it is our job. It's not something we have to do. It's something that we must do. It's within us, and we can't stop it. And we're very passionate people as well, but our passion comes out in different ways. We are incredibly passionate about injustice. We hate injustice. And like, for example, the poor, it's an injustice. It's not fair. The rest of the world is so selfish, and people are complaining about what they don't have, but they have far more than what they need, and yet there's mothers who cannot feed their children in places like Nicaragua or Haiti, you know, places like India, where kids are dying or being sold in the sex trade, like in Thailand, because mom and dad want to buy a TV, so they sell their daughter into a brothel for a television. It's a trade. This drives us absolutely crazy. It is infuriating to us, and it's an injustice, and we will give our lives to doing what we can to fix it. So our look is usually going to be colors that are not super bright. Our colors are not going to be, there's not going to be a lot of bling, not a lot of drama, but we typically like to blend in clothing-wise. So, you know, there's a lot of neutrals in this area. The clothing typically is going to be neutral. You're not going to see a lot of bright lipstick. You're going to see a lot of, like, you know, powerhouse makeup inside of the pearls, but generally, there's some that do, but generally, they're just going to be more of the natural kind. You know, when we start to go gray, just, you know, let it happen. There it is. It's coming in. You know, my daughter last night was making fun of me as I was laying on the bed. She's like, "Mom, you have all those gray hairs. What are you, Mom? Something's wrong. Mom, you have a lot of gray hairs." Like, she was terrible. "And what's going on with your skin? Something looks wrong. Oh, Mom, you're getting old. I don't really like this." It was really sweet. I feel good about my aging process, so it didn't hurt my feelings at all. I'm like, I feel really good about where I'm at, so we're good. But you're right. My skin is changing, and yes, I have gray hairs. It is what it is. But, you know, the pearls don't like color on their hair. You know, your scalp has huge pores, so you don't want to soak in all of the chemicals and the dyes and those, you know, those impurities into your brain, into your bloodstream, you know, so we don't want to do that, so we're just going to, you know, let's just go El Natural. And whatever our natural look is whatever our natural look is. We just don't really care about fashion. We really don't care about, you know, the look thing. We just want to love on people. So our spiritual gift is service as well as mercy. We're showers of mercy. We've been taken advantage a lot because of our mercy. We've been walked on a lot because of our mercy, because we have a very ungodly definition for mercy. And the ungodly form of mercy is never ending. But a godly form of mercy is for repentance. Mercy is given when you turn from your wicked ways, not allowing the wicked ways to continue on forever and keep giving mercy. So consequences have to take an effect in order for people to learn. So pearls, a weakness of pearls is enabling. Pearls are naturally enablers. They naturally want to take the pain away for somebody, even though pain is a teacher. Consequences are teachers. And if we stand in the way of the consequences of another individual, then the consequences come upon us. And so when I was saying that we are passionate in two ways, so the one way is we're passionate about injustice, and we can get loud, and we can get upset about those things, and we can drive hard. We're very driven when it comes to a cause. Outside of a cause, we're not so driven. But the second place that we're very passionate is when we've been taken advantage of a lot. And so we have a lot of patience, and we show a lot of mercy, and then... And then, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, when someone has pushed us over the edge, we manifest like a principality of darkness. And we explode all over everybody with all kinds of colorful words and everything. And we cannot believe we just did that. Like, we didn't even know those words were inside of our mouth. Like, it was foul. Like, I'm really sorry, but you deserved it. So when someone gets a spanking from a pearl, that person knows they have really screwed up. They really screwed up, because literally the look that is on your face and what your body is doing and the screaming and the things that go flying through the room are just not conducive to our normal, natural, quiet, patient nature. But we do have it. Let me see who we are. How many of you have manifested like a principality of darkness? Who here has exploded on people? Yep. And then you feel so ashamed. You feel so guilty. You feel so bad, you know, and you're super spiritual. So if you did do this explosion, you're really spiritual and you like to follow God, then you're... Then your next step is your face is on the floor before the Lord and you're just saying, please forgive me. I was so wrong. That was terrible. I should have never done that. I can't believe. Oh, please forgive me. You know, and you're begging forgiveness and you feel really terrible and you carry guilt and shame and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, then you repeat the cycle with the same person all over again. So last night I was talking specifically to you when I was saying that enablers create opposition. And the enabling creates problems for yourself and the other person. And so I've watched that a lot in my life, because I come from codependent family and codependent habits of people that were all around us, because drug addiction and alcohol addiction is all codependency. And so that's what I learned to do, and that's what I saw. And so I've experienced it a lot, and I've felt the pain of the enabling part of what we do. And so I'll give you an example with my mom and my sister. My sister's been a drug addict her whole life. Since she was 13 years old. My other sister also was a drug addict from 13 to 21. She died in a head-on collision with two semis. My mom, whenever my sister would call that was still living, she'd call my mom and say, hey, we don't have milk. There's snow on the ground. We have no heat. And her husband worked full-time, and he made $2,400 a month working in a mine in Nevada. So they made plenty of money, but they spent their money on drugs. And so I told my mom, I said, Mom, you're keeping them on drugs. She said, I'm not keeping them on drugs. I said, you are seriously buying drugs. She says, I am buying milk and I'm paying the electric bill. I said, they're not buying their own milk or paying their own electric bill, because they know you're going to buy the milk and pay the electric bill. So they're buying drugs with the money that should be budgeted for milk and the electric bill. I said, so you're being manipulated into buying drugs and you don't even realize it. You're keeping them stuck because you're saying yes and sending them money. So finally one day, my mom learned, and she stopped saying yes, and she stopped sending them money. And it was amazing what happened. They had to either find another source that eventually dried up, or they eventually ended up paying their own way through life. And so many of you have done this. How many of you have done the same exact thing where you have given, 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 given to the same people, they've never paid you back, and you continue to give? I'm going to show you something that is going to be shocking to you, my friends. You pride yourself on being unselfish, which is pride. Number one, you pride yourself on being unselfish, but the reality is why do you keep giving to those same people who take advantage of you and walk all over you, and they don't change? You want them to love you. You feel needed. It makes you feel good. You like to rescue. You like to be the savior. You like to be the hero. So in all reality, that's 100% selfishness. It makes you feel good to help that person. It's not about helping the person. It's about helping yourself. And so when you're, because you're not helping the person, are you? You're enabling the person. You're hurting the person. You're hurting their future. Not only that, you're hurting the maturity process. They're not able to mature into adults because you're keeping them a child by keeping them stuck in their ways because you are relieving them of their consequences. We all learn from childhood all the way up from consequences. That's how we learn not to make the same mistakes over and over again. And so in all reality, you are addicted to being a hero. You're addicted to being a rescuer. Addicted to feeding yourself to make yourself feel good. And then on the flip side of the coin, you judge the rubies over there to be selfish. Because their selfishness shows up in what they wear, what they drive, and what size their house is. But your selfishness shows up in your service. The service of yourself first. Because if you really to think about it, what is the best decision to make with this person right now? How many of you know the best decision is to cut them off? How many of you know that? Cut them off. They have to grow up. They have to mature. They have to learn wisdom on their own. And literally, you're standing in the way of God. You've taken the God position as their provider. And there's consequences for that. Does that make sense? So part of it is because you hate confrontation. You absolutely hate confrontation. You will do anything to avoid a confrontation, so you rather do something that is not right just to avoid the confrontation. You'd rather not speak up so that you don't get into a fight because you hate manifesting like a principality of darkness. What if I could show you how not to manifest like a principality of darkness? All you're missing is communication skills. That's all you're missing. You're missing communication skills and a strategy. Right here in this city, just a few months from now, here in November, the first part of November, is going to be creating a dynasty. You're going to be learning so many communication skills and problem-solving skills with people and how to motivate people at such a dynamic level that you will no longer be afraid of confronting issues. You'll no longer enable people because you will have the words in your mouth as well as the strategy of how to go about it, that it doesn't cause a blow-up, but it brings reconciliation and helps to raise up leaders. You often stand in the way of people rising up because we don't give them a chance to mature. So you're going to learn at Creating a Dynasty for 3 solid days how to raise up other leaders around you that are independent, not codependent, and that these people can make their own decisions and grow naturally. But one of the things I can help you with right now is the next time one of those people call you to borrow money and you know they're never going to pay you back, is to say simply this: I love you, I appreciate you, and I believe in you, which is why all these years I've helped you, but I have to ask you to forgive me. I've stood in your way. I've actually hurt you, and I've hurt myself. So because I believe in you and because I love you, we're going to use a different strategy this time because my first strategy failed. My first strategy of helping you out and bailing you out in this way has completely failed. It failed for you, and it has failed for me, and you and I can't keep going on the same road and still remain a loving family. So here's what I'm going to do. I am going to support you 100%. I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to comfort you, coming alongside you. However, my bank account is closed so that you can learn on your own how to fix this. Our relationship shouldn't be based on money. Our relationship should be based on love and mutual respect for each other. So I respect you. And I want to give you the opportunity to figure this one out by yourself. Because I know how hard it was for you to pick up the phone. Call me. That'd be so hard for you to pick up the phone. You probably labored over days about how you were going to ask me for this money. I don't ever want you to have to ask that question again. So do you have a piece of paper and a pen handy? I'm going to take you to a website where you can learn how to manage your own finances. You can learn how to solve this problem. You can learn how thousands and tens of thousands of other people have learned how to pay off their debt, how to increase their income, and how to change their lives. Go to DannyJohnson.com right now and begin to watch her television shows, sign up for the free Daily Fix, get a hold of a free book, First Steps to Wealth, begin to read these things, and I'm going to call you tomorrow to make sure that you did that. And let's go ahead and go through the book together, and I can help hold you accountable. As long as you're making progress, I'll stand right by your side. As soon as you decide not to make progress, I'll step aside. But the ball's in your court. Like I said, I love you. I believe in you. I'm with you. Here's a website to teach you how to fix your life. And from this day forward, our relationship is going to be based on love, honor, and mutual respect. But it's not going to be based on money. Fair enough? How many of you can say these things? This has been recorded. You can play this back. You have the recording. You know that, right? It's going to be in your account manager. This is yours for life. So you don't have to buy the MP3. It already came with your registration into the event. So this is a section to listen to again and again and again so you can stand firm. At Dynasty, you're going to get a script for confronting hard issues. This one is a simple little issue, simple little script that I just spit out of my mouth for you. But there's a script that you'll have in the future because you have to confront issues with people. And here's the deal. You're like, but Danny, I'm a giver. I like to do that. Yeah, but see, there's certain passions that you have of what to give for. And your heart bleeds for whether it's the kids in the sex trade, the elderly, the widow, the homeless, or you're working with us on the project of building 1,000 homes for the extreme poor in Nicaragua and helping to give these families education, putting them in business, teaching them business skills for 2 years. Maybe you're working on that with us. It hurts you because you wish you could give more. How many of you wish you could give more? How many of you wish you had more so you could give more? But you don't have more because you're giving it to all the wrong people. You're giving it to the ones who are abusing you and abusing finances, and they're not learning, draining your accounts, and it's stopping you from reaching your destiny. It's holding you back from your passion. So I say, go make money. Go with that great passion for this cause that you have. And stop giving it to the wrong places and start to take that money and now put it towards those projects that mean the world to you. You've been wired to take care of those who can't take care of themselves. And there ain't no one in your family that can't take care of themselves. Not in this country. There's way too many programs that are out there to help them help themselves. So your job is not to do that. But there are a people across the border that don't have what this country has. And they need you. Those people need you. Those families, those generations need you. They are desperate for a chance. They don't want to be dependent. They're desperate for, give me a step up and I will run with what you have started me off with. Does that make sense? So now you can take that money. Many of you also have a hard time charging for your products and services. You like to give these things away for free. Where are you? Give it away for free, people. When you give it away for free, you're a nonprofit. So you can't blame that the business is not making you any money. Do you understand? You're running a nonprofit. So either make it profitable and then give the profits away like we do. I would do anything, my friends, to not charge for First Steps to Success. And my husband and I would go round and round and round and round. My heart was to not charge. I'd rather do it for free. I would rather just like go, hey, that back table, it's all yours. First come, first service. Go get it. And then my husband would say again and again, you know that what people get for free, they don't value. And that's the truth. What they get for free, they don't value. I'll tell you who's going to get the most of this event, the people who traveled from abroad. Those who flew from Finland, Norway, Sweden, those who came from Latvia, they're going to get the most out of this event. Why? Because it was a $5,000 plane ticket, or it's a $1,000 plane ticket, and they're on a different time zone. It's the middle of the night right now for them. So their day, they can't sleep at night because they're wide awake. That's their normal daytime. And when they're supposed to be in here taking notes, that's their sleeping time. So they've had to push and sacrifice far more than anybody else here in the room. More expenses, more days of travel, more time away from work, more time away from family to come here. So they had a high price to get into this room. So therefore, they're coming to get out of this room. They're not going to question what comes out of my mouth. They're here to go, done, I'm doing that. Done, I'm doing that. I'm implementing that strategy right away. It's not a question. I don't know if that one will really work for me. No, it's like, show me what to do. It's a done deal. So what people get for free or they get for cheap, they don't value, which is sad. So if I were to give it all away for free, how many orphans are we feeding? There's 10,000 kids that depend on us every single month. So that's why 100% of the profits go to the poor. So I'm happy to serve you, and I'm happy to be here with you. If it was for money for me, I wouldn't be happy to be here. Money means nothing to me, absolutely nothing to me. But if I can use my gift to help people here and then take all the profits and build 1,000 homes, get kids out of the sex trade in Thailand every single month, get kids out of the sex trade here in the U.S. every single month, helping to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, warm up the cold, and bring aid to the sick, that's my life. That's my life. It's the only reason why I work. I wouldn't work if that cause was not driving me. That's what gets me out of bed every day. Not money, not business, not solving problems, not dealing with drama, but it's this. This is what makes Danny Johnson tick, is right here. So go do the same. Go use your gifting. You have amazing people skills. Your major weakness is confrontation, and it hurts your leadership. So if you could learn that one skill, think about how much you could grow, how much more profitable you can become, how many people you can help raise up, and what a difference you can make in the world by just changing that one little thing, right? All right, I have to move on. Thanks for your time. Closet metalheads, stand to your feet, metalheads, and show your stuff. Show these sapphires how you are not boring. Nice. Yes. Oh, I love it. And the sapphires always judge the emeralds as being boring. And they are so not boring, they are just complicated. That music choice, again, is from classical to whatever that was, heavy metal. Even techno. Techno is a common music that this group likes to listen to, and it's all complicated music. There are so many instruments and so many beats and so many things that are going on inside of all of that music, from Beethoven all the way to what we just heard. And they are the personality that can discern it. They can decipher it. They can hear all of those different things that are going on inside there, and for some reason it helps them concentrate, which is amazing. Emeralds enjoy instructions. They love outlines. They like things to be precise. They're very accurate. They love statistics. They're very controlled and reserved. Clothing-wise, they are usually dark and dated. Functionality is more important than fashion. They are maintainers of things. They make things last for a really long time. They don't wear their clothes out. There's some people in this room, depending on their age, they've had a shirt for 30 years, a suit for 20 years. Where are you? I have to raise both of my hands. Okay, so we have clothes that have lasted for a really long time because we don't poke holes in our clothes. We make them last. We actually take care of them according to the manufacturer's instructions. I have 22-year-old shoes, 24-year-old shoes. I have a pair of shoes that are 24 years old. And I still wear them. I have probably a whole section of my closet of shoes that are 24 to 20 years old that I wear often. Still get great use out of them. And, you know, when the soles after 20 years began to just kind of rub through on the bottom, I take them to the cobbler. He puts a new set on and it is done. It's much more affordable than replacing the whole pair of shoes. So, yes, yeah, so we have things that last a long time. We make our cars last a long time. We are the ones that actually keep the maintenance on the vehicles. We keep the maintenance records on the vehicles. We are the ones that read all the instructions first before we ever put anything together. When there is something that actually has to be put together, we actually do read all the instructions first. We take out the inventory. We open up every single one of the bags. Like, he is dying. We open up every single one of the bags. Breathe, honey. Breathe. We open up every single one of the bags, and we don't rip it open. We actually take the tape, lift it off that little piece of paper ever so gently. You have to lift that tape ever so gently off, because there's a really good chance that we're going to have to pack the entire thing back up again and send it back, because not every quality control department is ran by people like us. So there's a really good chance, the odds are, you know, 1 in 10, that we probably are going to have to send the entire package back. So, therefore, our styrofoam is perfectly intact. But see, if you are trying to put something together with a sapphire, the styrofoam creates snow. They make snow out of it. They take it apart. They rub it together. And, whew, it's snow all over the place. They're not even thinking that they're going to have to vacuum this stuff up, and it's not good for the vacuum. Okay? So we take an inventory of every single one of the parts. We lay it out in the order in which the thing has to actually be put together. And then if the inventory is incorrect, we put everything back together. We write a scathing letter, followed up with an email and a phone call. How many of you have written these scathing letters, emails, and phone calls? And to us at the time, it's not scathing at all. It is the facts that their quality control department is inefficient, and you have caused damages to my 6-year-old son who could not play with his toy on his birthday due to the inefficiencies of that department. My suggestion is you fire the quality controller immediately. You send me the product via Federal Express free of charge immediately for the damages you caused to my 6-year-old. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. After I just completely skinned your head with my factual, accurate information back to you of how horrible you are, and you failed me as a customer, and I am going to contact Consumer Reports. Do they still exist? Better Business Bureau. And I will write a review on your website, letting them know about, in fact, I have already wrote a review on your website. We are very analytical, incredibly organized. There is a place for everything. It has to be in order. If things are out of order, we go crazy. It like raises our blood pressure. The anxiety begins to rise inside of our bellies. We feel completely out of sorts. We're completely lost when things are not perfectly in its place. And if we don't make messes. You know what I mean? Like, we clean up as we go. You know, you take out the peanut butter. You use it with one knife. You do not put the knife with the jelly into the peanut butter. There's no coagulation on the outside of the peanut butter and the jelly or the mayonnaise. Everything is on the inside of the jar. And when the jar looks like it's empty, we get a scraper out and we scrape every last little piece that is inside of that jar, because there's at least 2 more sandwiches inside that jar of peanut butter. When we are done with our toothpaste, we cut off the end. There's a whole nother week of toothpaste in your toothpaste thing. A whole nother week, at least a whole week, yes. So I have these toothpastes, and mine are natural, of course. Natural. No fluoride, because fluoride rots holes in your brain. So anyway, that's what the research has shown. Anyway, so we cut off the top, okay, and we get the last bit out there, and so then I cut the next piece because I don't want to make a mess on the toothbrush. So then when I get that first piece, and then I cut it off until the very end, and I use bobby pins to seal it, because you can't leave it open. It dries everything out. So I use two bobby pins to seal up that toothpaste thing again. I get a whole nother week's of toothpaste use out of there. Same with the shampoo, right? You got to add water, right? And you get a whole nother week's worth of shampoo. When most people throw the shampoo away and think it's empty, or they open another one because they have 17 open bottles of shampoo and conditioner and soap and lotion in their bathroom and in their showers. It's both of these people that do this. We, however, do not, unless, of course, we live with those people. My husband has four different kinds of shampoos. Like, why? They're all, my husband, four different kinds of shampoo. Because my husband is a closet sapphire. Closet. He has not come out of the closet yet. He just figured me out 4 years ago. After 18 years of marriage, it took him 18 years to figure out what I was.
Andrew, he just figured me out.
He did? Yeah. It took 18 years. My husband has been through this training for 18 years. It took him 18 years. He was standing. We're coming out of the bathroom. We're standing between the bathroom and the bedroom, and he looks at me, and he goes, he puts his arms on me. He goes, "You're an emerald." I said, "You think? What brought you to this conclusion? Come here, honey. Let's go look in our closet. You ready? Closet. Shirts. Strapless. Light to dark. To spaghetti strap. To 1-inch strap. To cap sleeve. To short sleeve. To 3/4 sleeve. To long sleeve. Light to dark. All facing that way. Wait. Perfectly on the hanger. Hangers, what are those? These people, it's like this. The hanger, the clothes are like, do you know what I'm saying? It's like jacked, right? And so our hangers, perfect, 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 all facing the same way, preferably all the same color. White, my closet.
Or different hangers.
Okay. Well, of course, the pants, you know, get pant hangers. Okay, so like, I said, so let's look at our closet, honey. And this is why I have a conniption fit when the dishwasher is not done properly. Let's go to the kitchen, my friends. So I showed him my, I said, look, honey, see my shoes? They're all in their original boxes. These are black. These are brown. These are multi. These are cream. These are white. The boots, heel length, and then how much they crawl up the leg. All in their original boxes. Now, honey, let's look at your closet. You still have the dry cleaning plastic, and there's nothing underneath it. Gosh. We share a closet, not even a big one. He has wire hangers. There are wire hangers in my closet. With the plastic from the dry cleaner. And some of the plastic is up over one part of the hanger. And there's nothing on the hanger anymore. The shoes are all over the floor. His jeans are all... Every once in a while, I have to organize his shirts because I have to look at this. I have to organize that there's no color coordination. There's no coordination of anything. There's jeans sometimes over here, shirts over here, long sleeves over here, some tank tops on top of the long sleeves. That would drive me crazy. He goes, whoa. I go, have you ever noticed that your house is never messy? He's like, I know, I'm really thankful about that. Like, your house is never dirty. Yeah, yeah. Wow. He goes, that's why it drives you crazy when I can't give you a plan. And that's why it drives you crazy when I change the plan. Because he changes the plan all the time. Uh-huh. He goes, this makes a lot of sense. Uh-huh. It does. I love you. I forgive you. I release you. And I bless your ass. it was a rather breakthrough moment, we'll say that. He has a lot of emerald tendencies too, but he is way that, and I'm so... Okay, so let's talk about our weaknesses. Notice how they're about to take notes. Let me keep going on some of our characteristics. We like perfection. Our spiritual gift is discernment and wisdom. We know there's an upside and a downside to everything. We are not these, you know, pie in the sky people. We want to know what the facts are. We want to know how many people have failed, how many people have died doing that. We want to know. And we're very inquisitive. We ask a lot of questions, and it sometimes can be the doom of us because we can get in a rabbit hole of research for a really, really, really long time, meaning I can spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours on a daily basis researching the Bible. It's my favorite book. So I will just take one word, and I will be in a rabbit hole for 3-4 hours just on one word. I'm searching every single time that one word shows up, seeing what the patterns are, what the meaning is, drawing wisdom for that. It's exhausting. But that's how our minds work. We are researchers. We like to exhaust a subject. We want things to be accurate. We also love efficiencies. We hate inefficiencies. They drive us crazy. So we're always fixing things and trying to make things better and to perform better and more productive. We're very persistent, almost to a fault. There is a time to throw up the white flag. Surrender is not our nature at all. We are thick-headed. We hate change. Oh boy, do we hate change. We love routines. We love schedules. My whole life is scheduled. I even have to set appointments to have fun because fun does not come natural. So it's, and I can feel it when I haven't had it for a while. Like I know, my body knows when I haven't had fun for a while, and I know it's time for it because we've all been wired to need it, to want it. Laughter is good medicine for the soul, and laughter is not something that we look for. It's not something that we do. It's an accident most of the time. And it's usually when we get around a sapphire that we don't hate. Because sapphires typically drive us crazy, right? And so we try to avoid them at all costs. But when you understand the purpose of a sapphire and its laughter is medicine to the soul, and you learn to love and appreciate the differences in them and the creativity they have, their ability to solve problems, their ability to think outside of the box, because we are box thinkers. Yes. We're rule followers. Watch this. Sapphires. Finish my statement. Rules were meant to be... Emeralds, finish my statement. Rules were meant to be
followed.
Isn't that crazy? God designed all of us, and this was done on purpose. He did this on purpose. This is how you naturally think. That's how they naturally think. And it's because we are all supposed to work together. We're supposed to learn from each other. We're supposed to accept one another. We are not complete if we don't have each other. We're not complete by ourselves. So we have to learn to move and groove with one another and ping on and grab on to the people that have strengths in places that we have weaknesses, because our biggest weakness is people. Yeah. Our biggest weakness is people. We do what we can to avoid them. We pick careers where we don't have to talk to them. We much rather be accountants, engineers, software developers, chemists, programmers. We rather have careers, accounting, where we are going to be by ourselves in a cubicle, not having to talk to a single soul. The least amount of words out of our mouth, the better. Life has taught our emerald ways that people do not understand us, and we don't understand them, and we have a really terrible weakness of expecting everyone to be like us. We think higher of ourselves than we ought. Because we're rule followers, we believe everyone else should be following those rules. And when people have a different way of viewing those rules, or they have a different perception of the rules, or have a different purpose for the rules, we judge them terribly. We are considered by other human beings to be insensitive, controlling, and inconsiderate. How many of you have been judged to be insensitive, cold-hearted, and judgmental? Now, the sad part is that we're not insensitive or cold-hearted. We're just factual. And so it's the way that we communicate to people. Our communication is very rhythmic, and it's very interrogative. There's one word in our vocabulary we use probably more than any other word when we begin a sentence. It's a three-letter word. It starts with a W, and it is why. Why are you late? Why have you done this again? Why do you insist on me telling you 25 times how to do that task? Why did you ignore my 17-point email? Why did you fail to answer number 12, number 13, number 15, and number 16? Why do you consistently defy the rules that have been set before you that you know work? Why do you always create inefficiencies at the wrong possible time? And why are your clothes coming off of your body and onto the floor 2 inches from the hamper? Why will you not follow the manufacturer's instructions for the dishwasher? The cups go on the top shelf, neatly stacked, one right by the other. You do not put big bowls in the dishwasher with the cake batter in it. There is not a hand that comes out of the dishwasher and scrubs the baked off items off of that baking dish. Pots and pans should not be in the dishwasher because you are supposed to wash your dishes before you put them in the dishwasher. The dishwasher is a sanitation device. So why is there baked on food on this fork that now has to be washed again? And now we have to scrub it off before we put it back into the dishwasher. And why is the small frying pan in the bottom of the cabinet and the large one on top? Why do you put the smaller bowl on the bottom? Can't you see that they all perfectly and efficiently fit one inside of the other, starting with the largest on the bottom, and then the second largest, the third largest, and the smallest goes in after. It takes less space to put everything away. And who moved my spices? Our weaknesses, people, pride, thinking higher of ourselves than we ought, thinking that the world should all be emeralds. But if that was the case, we would be very boring. It would. There wouldn't be a lot of innovation. There would be no creativity. There probably wouldn't be much laughter. There could be a lot of peace. But peace has its place. Yeah. We solve problems with coming up with 12 different options. All 12 options are thought through perfectly. We know what the outcome of all 12 of those options are with a certain ratio of error. It takes us a long time to make decisions, and we do not adapt very well when changes come. We resist. Pearls resist change also, but they hate confrontations, so they won't say anything about it. They'll just gripe internally and be really upset internally until they move past it. But emeralds, you know, we like our processes. We like our accuracies. We like it when bank balances, numbers balance. We really love numbers. Numbers tell the truth to us. Facts don't lie, but feelings often do. So we really base a lot of our decision off of the facts and as much research as we possibly can get. The weakness is perfection. It's a weakness. That's not a strength. It's an absolute weakness. And why? Because we can stay on a project going after what does not exist, and that's perfection. We expect people to be perfect. We expect people to never make mistakes. This sets people up for failure. It sets us up for failure. Grace is not something that comes natural to us. Mercy is not something that comes natural to us. Someone does something wrong, you will force a confession out of them. And even though you're getting the words, you ain't getting the confession. You might get the words, but you're not getting the broken heart that has to come with a real confession. But you want people to admit that they're wrong. Emeralds are very argumentative. Where are you, arguers? Yeah, argumentative, and we're arguing the facts. It's not arguing, Danny. I'm simply stating the facts. So we can be rather defensive and argumentative, which completely exasperates people and causes people not to trust us. So, and people will avoid us. They don't want to be around us because we're always pointing out what they're doing wrong and not celebrating what they're doing right because our standards for what's right is perfect. So we don't recognize tiny little progress. We have a tendency of only recognizing if they hit the mark and it was absolutely perfect. And if they didn't hit the mark and it wasn't absolutely perfect, it's like, well, no recognition. Either you did it or you didn't. Period. End of story. That was no progress. So we have a lot of strengths and we have a few weaknesses that are rather detrimental when it comes to people, because as you've been learning all weekend, you're surrounded by people and will be surrounded by people for the rest of your life. But I want you to think about this for a minute. Think about how much stress has been caused in your life because of the inability to communicate to other personalities in the language that they speak, that they understand. Picture this. Emeralds, let's say you speak German, okay? Ruby speak English. Sapphire speak Spanish. Pearls speak French, okay? These are the romance people over here. So they speak that romantic language of French. They are the fun, wild people. Spanish, English, talk fast. German, complicated, rhythmic language. If all you do is speak German and you go into the deep, deep parts of Mexico where there's never been a white man and there's no bilingual anything anywhere in this deep part of Mexico, how are you going to find a beer, a bathroom, and a meal? If you cannot communicate, if you can't speak that foreign language, you can be showing pictures. Look at all the work you have to do to try to communicate a simple thing. Where's the food? Where's the beer? Where's the bathroom? Because you don't know the words. And that's what happens every single day with the people that are around you and me, is that we're speaking German, but they don't understand German. They're speaking Spanish, but you don't understand Spanish. So even though we're saying the same vocabulary, this is what's happening. So you say party, you have a completely different idea of a party than they have. How many of you have had a lot of misunderstandings in your life with other people? And all it is communication. That's all it is. So imagine if you could learn all four languages of all four gems. That's what you will learn how to do at Creating a Dynasty, is you're going to learn how to speak Ruby, Sapphire, Pearl. You already know how to speak Emerald really well, and the people you get along best with are other Emeralds. The second people you get along with are Pearls. Those are the ones you like to be around. You really tolerate those for as little amount of time as possible, and you avoid them at all costs. How many of you are married to a Sapphire? And how many of you are married to an Emerald? You've heard the saying that opposites, let me tell you why they attract. Because they were told their whole lives that they needed to be like you. Why can't you be more like Johnny? Johnny never breaks the rules. Johnny never gets in trouble. Johnny gets straight A's. Johnny's always on time. Johnny does this right. Johnny does that right. So they were compared their whole life to someone like you. So that's why they went after you. Well, if I marry this woman or I marry this guy, then I know maybe I won't get in trouble anymore. Seriously. Maybe I won't get in trouble anymore. And you know what your attraction was to them? They were fun. You saw them dancing on tables, toilet papering other people's houses, sneaking out at night. You saw that and you're like, that looks fun. I really would like to try that, but oh my gosh, I know I'll get in trouble. So they made you, they awakened you. They always get away with it. So it awakened you, right? So it kind of made you kind of felt life. Your skin would tingle at just the thought of, I want to try that. I don't think I should do that. So you ended up marrying one. And, you know, in the marrying one, initially they got you out of your comfort zone and you loved the life that they brought into your life. And then pretty soon you tried to change them into being you, and they tried to change you into being them. And this is what creates conflicts, of not embracing the differences in the personality, but trying to take the personality and change it into something that it is not naturally to be. Usually ends up in divorce when you try to do that to people. So, not a good thing. You have to learn how to speak sapphire. You got to learn how to speak pearl. You got to learn how to speak ruby. And when you learn how to speak these things, then there's much more camaraderie. There's harmony. There's peace. There's patience. There's understanding. And you no longer have to do everything yourself, but you allow others to do it their way, and you use teamwork. Okay, for example, I mean, how many of us love a clean kitchen? Right, a clean kitchen means the counters, the appliances, right, the floor, everything is clean every night before we go to bed, right? It all has to be complete, right? It's called complete clean, complete. So in our house, mom cooks, the boys clean. They're the only ones left in the house, right? So if I cook, the boys clean. Well, I have a sapphire son, and I have an emerald pearl son, and they help to clean the kitchen. But it's not according to mom's standards. So my job in the teamwork of the kitchen is I do the final detailed work, because that's our gift. Our gift is detail. Their gift is not detail. So I just know that's my role, is detail. They clean the kitchen, I do the detail work. Does that make sense? Before I used to, but now I'm like, hold on a second. I don't have to spend 2 hours cleaning this kitchen. This is teamwork. This is my job. So I do the final finishing touches. Does that make sense? That's learning how to work with each other, and I don't put them down because they didn't get this crumb that's behind the toaster to the sapphire. It's like, how did you find the crumb? Move the toaster. Like, well, where was that? Behind the toaster. Okay. So hopefully that makes sense to you. And I know that your notes are like perfectly organized and set up in in different segments and footnoted and underlined and asterisked and, you know, some highlighting action that is going on. Yeah, see, very perfect. We got a highlighter. We got different color pens and everything's in each one of the, and the specific points that she really wants to focus on, you know, are right there. Excellent. Excellent. So, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, it is time for me to move on. I apologize, but to keep the seminar moving in a timely fashion, we need to get the attention on the rubies. Yes. Nice. Guys are awesome. Well, my fellow emeralds, as we are researchers and we like to observe things, I know that you came to the same conclusion that I did, and that is that rubies have absolutely no rhythm. And you know what is so fascinating about that is that we got to watch what happens when a group of about 250 rubies get together. They're all trying to get each other to follow them. You got 250 people saying, I'm the lead, follow me. I got this, follow me. I know what the rhythm is, follow me. Hello, you're doing it wrong, I got it. So that's exactly what that looks like when a group of rubies get together. They're all trying to lead at the same time. Appointing themselves as the alpha dog. Rubies love authority. They love to be in authoritative positions. They take charge very easily. It's very natural to them to just say, I got that. I can do that. I know I have 42 other things I have to do today, but I can add this one to the list. And I know I will do it better than everybody else, and I'll get it done first. And that's their history. I mean, they know that they get things done faster than everybody else. There's nobody in this room that gets things done faster than Rubies. Nobody. You need a job done quickly, call a Ruby. You need something done, even I would say the best, call a Ruby. It's the truth. They're the best. They're the best at just about everything that they do. If they cook, they're the best cooks. If they're in business, they're the best. Just ask them. They'll tell you. They're incredibly determined. They're not quitters. They've been given an extra dose of confidence. They were born with more confidence than the average person. This is their gift. It's really profound. There's nothing they cannot do, which is an asset and a liability all at the same time. Because they have so much confidence and they know they can do absolutely anything, they believe in the impossible and they go after the impossible. They have big dreams, they go after the big dreams. They are also very innovative. They're very similar to sapphires in innovation and rules. Rubies were meant to be. Pearls, rules were meant to be followed. Then what'd they say? Couldn't hear them. Many of these create their own rules, and they don't even follow them. They make their own rules that they don't follow. That was my husband. My husband's primary is a Ruby. That's his primary. And he's hilarious. Through the years, you know, my husband had an 8-pack when I met him. He was 18, you know. I was 22. I was 180 pounds. He was like 150. He moved in with me. He was then 160, then 165, then 175, then 185. Recently, he touched 190 and said, "That's it. I'm done." But anyway, so he's like, "Oh, you know, my back hurts. Oh gosh, I could just feel it." I'm like, "Honey, will you like tell me what I should be eating? And will you, because I'm really disciplined with food. I'm disciplined with nutrition, vitamins, all of that stuff. And I'm a researcher, so you know, I know all the latest stuff about what you should be putting in your body, what you shouldn't. And I'm very passionate about it. Will you just like, you know, guide me in the right direction. We tell me what I should be eating. Tell me what I shouldn't be eating." And then it got eventually like, "Will you put my vitamins out for me? I keep forgetting them." So I would actually bite the end of that hook. For several years, I bought this hook, man. I'm like, "Oh, sure, honey, I'd love to help you. Absolutely. Okay, well, you don't want to be eating this. You don't want to eat this. You don't want to eat this. And these things are really good healthy foods for you. These foods will help you lose weight and stay away from all bread, hamburger buns, French fries, Cokes, candies, you know, all the junk food you're addicted to, you might want to leave those things out." So sure enough, "Well, honey, how'd it go?" "Well, stop telling me what to do." He begged me to tell him how to eat. He begged me to hold him accountable, and then I go to hold him accountable. "So, honey, how'd it go? Stop telling me what to do." Like, okay, so then it took me like 4 or 5 years before I figured it out. Like, I am not going to do this anymore. This is stupid. I'm not going to do this. And the next time he asked me, I say, "Honey, you know what? You know on your phone you have alerts and reminders. Your phone can actually tell you to take your vitamins." He's like, "Oh, that's a great idea." So he puts an alert in his phone. "Noon, take your vitamins." Every day, there it goes. "Okay, take your vitamins." So then I happen to be with him one day when the thing went off, and he goes. He told his phone to shut up and stop telling him what to do. So that is a Ruby with their own rules that they make for themselves. That's how they treat accountability. They want it, but they don't. You know, they hate being told what to do. Absolutely hate it. With a passion, even if it was their own idea, forget it. Don't tell me what to do. Wow. It's insane. It's like crazy. All right. They're very entrepreneurial. They think in terms of business. They always see ways to make money. They've always been that way. These are the kids that sold their toys at the lunchroom. You know, these are the See's Candies ribbon holders. I sold the most See's Candy. You know, that's how these kids are. Like, all the fundraising things, I mean, they were always the ones to take the lead and do the best and do the most. And these are also student council kids, you know, that would... You know, you would see the competition for the student council, and if you couldn't win, it was stupid. You know, they only play games that they're guaranteed to win in. Yes. If they can't win, forget it. The game is stupid. It's a stupid and it's a waste of time. Great poker players. Yeah. 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 You're so good at poker face. You're so good at popping chess. You're so good at intimidation. Great with intimidation. It's great with your confidence. You can have a crappy hand, but you look like you got all aces or whatever it is that it takes to win in poker, which I have no idea what that is. But you're like, you look like you got it all, and you don't. They're very, very productive. Like I said, no one else gets more done than these people. And bold, 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 bold. Awesome problem solvers. And they're quick problem solvers. So they will have, you know, a solution, and it's the best solution. And they will sell you that it's the best solution. And if it wasn't the best solution, they will never admit that it wasn't the best solution. And it will be a simple little adjustment. No, I knew this was going to happen. It's time to turn right now. There was a purpose in this left turn over here, because we would not have been able to learn X, Y, and Z right here. So this was part of the plan. And so now the plan's going to, you know, turn this way. And you know, we got this. We're okay. This is perfect. It's all going to work out. They're very quick decision makers. They do not need a lot of information at all. And so, Emeralds, when you're trying to sell something to a Ruby, shut up. Present the benefits and be quiet. Ask them the closing question. They can't help themselves. They have to say yes. They're the easiest people to close right here. The easiest people to close are rubies. Did you hear that, Pearls? You're terrified of presenting something to a ruby because you're afraid of getting rejected by them. But they're the easiest people in the world to get to say yes. They are yes people. Yes, I can do that. Yes, I want that. Yes, that's a good idea. Yes, I found that. Yes, I did that. I did it all by myself. I was the first to do that ever in the whole universe. Aren't they funny? They're laughing their butts off at themselves. That's good growth, Rubies. They're goal-driven. Everything they do has a purpose. Everything is about production and being productive. Therefore, fun is not something they're very good at unless they are a ruby sapphire. Yeah. The ruby sapphire, they like to have fun. But if they're a ruby emerald, where's the ruby emeralds? Fun is total optional. If I have time, time is money. No, thank you. I have other more important things to do, like organize. Organize and plan out the next campaign that's going to kill the last campaign. Rubies are very adventurous. These are the jump out of airplane people. You know, these are the extreme sports people. They don't want what's average. They don't want what's normal. They've got to have what is the best of the best. Clothing-wise, they are the best dressers out of everybody in the room. The sapphires are the trendsetters. They are definitely dressed most comfortable, and they are most functional. But you are the best dressed. You are always just nicely put together, clean, expensive. You have a lot of debt from your expensive habits. The fine hotels, the fine wines, the fine restaurants, the $65 steaks. It's just a cow. I can buy an entire cow for that much in Nicaragua. They like to wear their brand on the outside of the shirt. They like people to know that is a Coach bag with my Coach shoes or my Ralph Lauren this or that. They like the expensive brands, and they like people to know that they are expensive, and they don't care about getting a deal. They like to pay full price, and they like to tell people that they pay full price, which is full-on poverty mentality.
Wow.
Yep, that's a poverty mentality. They are very strong-willed and absolutely independent. You tell these people they can't, you tell them no, oh, it's over. They are going to prove you wrong. They live to prove you wrong. Very self-reliant, which leads to some of their weaknesses. They can be very controlling, persistent to a fault. They have a hard time throwing up the white flag. Mm-hmm. Yeah, last night was for you. They're always in action mode. What the heck is rest? We have no idea what rest and relaxation is. You can sleep when you are... but you're like never tired. They're planning and doing presentations in their sleep. They're closing deals in their sleep. In the shower, all of it. Just their head is always going. The way that they like to close deals is, come on, let's do it. Let's do it now. Let's get busy. Got to get this done. 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 Got to get it done. We're behind. We're behind. We're behind. We got to get this done. And why are we behind? Not because you're lazy, but because you have 42 things on the list that have to get done. Which leads us to your weaknesses. Poor time managers. Wisdom is not something that you lean towards. Because of that overdose of confidence, you say yes to too many things, like the 42 things that are on the list that have to get done. And therefore, this is what is so profound about rubies. You're the most confident people in the room. Yet, how many of you have battled with depression and burnout? So this is the high as a kiter's and the low 6 feet under burnout people. And it truly is because of a lack of accountability and wisdom. And looking at a full picture, you have a tendency of looking at just what's in front of you and how fast and how hard you can do it and how you run yourself, not even realizing that the life you're living is a marathon, not a sprint. But you train your body and your mind and your emotions and your spirit for a sprint. But life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. So you do a lot of small, fast doses, and then you got to sleep for a month. And then you feel like a loser. You feel like a failure. You're totally behind. Somebody else is kicking your butt now. Somebody else is winning. Somebody else is doing better. And now you're depressed because you're no longer walking in your confident place, but you are living in that place of depression. And so rubies have got to learn the skill of two things: time management and accountability. A ruby with accountability is unbelievable. Amen. Unstoppable. So powerful. But a ruby with no accountability lead themselves to destruction every 30, 60, 90 days. It's a cycle. Their life is a cycle. So therefore, at the end of the day, pearls actually will end up getting more accomplished because they're slow and consistent, and they don't burn themselves out. But because rubies, every 30, some of your cycles 30 days, some of your cycles 60 days, some of your cycles 90 days. And the common statement with rubies is, I'm behind the eight ball. I'm behind the eight ball. I got so much I got to do. I got so much to get done. I got to get this done. I got to get this done. I got to get this done. And who said you had to get that all done? You were the one who signed up for it. You're the one that took it on. You're the one that said, I'll do that. Nobody put it on you. You said, yeah, I got that. Sure, no problem. I got that. Yeah, no, I got that. So the body wasn't made to live like that. The body was made to have rest 8 hours a day. The body was made to be fed every few hours, because a ruby lifestyle is, we wake up, we don't eat, we skip that first meal, we skip the second meal. About 8 o'clock at night, we inhale all three meals at one time, and then we go back to work. We head right back to work right after we did all that. So sleeping is important. We have values that have been shifted kind of in the wrong direction, and priorities that are shifted in the wrong direction. And so when our priorities are money, money, business, business, success, success, and we have a skewed vision of what success is, we use our bodies as slaves, but we think we're in charge. But we're not in charge. We've given ourselves over into slavery, thinking we're going to get somewhere faster. How many of you have often thought you'd be financially independent already? You'd already be there by now. And if you were to honestly assess your past of to why you're not financially independent yet, what would the reason be? Expenses. Say what?
Expenses.
Spending too much money. Inconsistency. This cycle, right? Inconsistency. Bad time management. Zero accountability. Not seeing the big picture of everything. Not seeing what all the deadlines are and what the real amount of time, energy, emotion it's actually going to take. I want you to consider this. I hope it comes out of my mouth right, and I hope that you understand this. There's some things that are more important than money and profits. And stress has a really high price. You see, there's emotional costs to what you do, but you have a tendency of not considering emotional costs. There's mental costs. They have a dollar sign, I promise you. Your emotions, your mind, and your spirit man all has a price tag. And those are the things that you call soft skills. Those are all things that don't really matter. Those are intangible things. Like, okay, let's look at this. How many of you want to build a house? Personally, you want to design your own house, build your own house, right? How many of you have never done it? How many of you have? Talk to me about the real cost.
It's expensive.
So it's not just the dollars, right? It is the stress of the design. It's the stress of who didn't show up. It's the stress of who misbidded. It's the stress of being on somebody else's timeline, waiting for that to happen, not being able to get that permit. You can sit and plan it out, but it never goes to plan. So most people who decide to build a house, oh, it's going to be so much fun. It's going to be our dream house. It's going to be awesome. They don't even look at the stress, emotion, the spirit, the mind, the thought, the frustration. Come on, talk to me. How much does frustration cost? Frustration is expensive. It'll make you drink. It'll make you do drugs. It'll give you a stroke or a heart attack. So frustration has a price. And rubies have a tendency of never considering what the real costs are. They only look at the bottom line dollar. But there's a much bigger cost. Okay, let's look at this cost. Fighting with your spouse. Fighting with your spouse before you head to work. How productive are you that day? Come on, how productive is the day? It's not productive at all. So, but look. But we don't do anything to fix that. We don't think that there's a reason. We married the wrong person, so that's why that didn't work. We were not equipped with the communication skills to solve the problem, better yet, not to prevent the problem. Preventing the problem. Let's prevent the problem. So that takes an investment, which is time. Time with the spouse. Time making them the higher priority over the business, the job, the money. Time without talking about business or money with the spouse. Totally 100% devoted. Workaholics exist in this area. Workaholics. And here's what we're thinking. Well, if I work more now, I get to play later. If I work more now, then I get to have more time, more free time later. How many of you, this has been your thought process. How many of you found that that's a lie? It's a complete lie. There is never a later. There is, I promise you, there is never a later. The later is when you decide that it is and you say, screw it, I'm done. It's over. Not going to live like this anymore. So last night you heard me tell you that I used to work 100 hours a week. And I had no accountability, and I swallowed a stupid pill. I made my first million very part-time, very, very, very part-time. It's a shock that it happened the way that it happened. I refused to work around the clock, and I refused to be owned by my business. Because the year before, I had bought into a lie, and the lie was that if I work like a dog for the next 7 years, I could pick my head up and write a check for whatever problem I may have created in that 7 years. That after 7 years, I'll be totally financially independent, and everything will be smooth, and everything will be great. So I bought into that lie that was fed to us. And I paid the price of it, and I said, never again. I don't care about making money. I don't care about living a life like that. I moved to Hawaii, so I started to enjoy freedom, and I started to enjoy, like, leisure time and be at the beach and relax and live. Like, you know, wow, you can watch the clock. Like, my time actually was extended when I relax and I have leisure time. There's more time that you get when you do that. So when I started that business, it was like I refused to work more than 20 hours a week. I even got myself to be so efficient, and this is an Emerald thing. You get so efficient with your skills that it takes less time to get the same job done. So I got my work all done within 4 days, and so I would work 4 days a month, and that was it. I had other things delegated, other tasks taken care of. All I did was oversee, but 4 days a month was actually the 4 days that I worked my business to create sales, and that's how I made my first million. So that's about efficiency. The higher your skill, the less time it takes. Does that make sense? The higher the skill, the less time it takes to get the job done. So I worked on my skill, and I refused to work more than the 20 hours a week. Just refused. So long story short, my business gets embezzled in 93, and I swallow a stupid pill, and I go back to my old ways of working 100 hours a week. And I did that into 93, 94, and 95. And in 94 had the heart attack, 95 had the nervous breakdown. I almost killed myself, and I'm so grateful for my husband being a martial artist because he disarmed the cleaver and the chef knife that I was attempting to drive into my abdomen. My husband disarmed me. You know how terrifying it was for my 4-year-old daughter, Erica, who came out after being asleep and sees daddy on top of mommy with the knives on the floor holding my arms down, restraining me. I wanted to die. And that's where I came to the place is it's not worth it. This sucks. No more. I don't care if I go broke. I don't care if I lose it all. I don't care if I lose the car, the house, the stuff. I don't care. I'm not living like this anymore. Sold a company, worked one. Part-time, 100 hours a week down to 20. And I hired someone to keep me accountable. And I saw that person once a week for 2 hours. And I submitted myself to learning how to manage my time. Do you know all that I submitted myself to learning about before? Business, 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 business. Money, 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 money. That's the only books I would read. That's the only training I would go to, was anything that would teach me how to make more money, 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 money.
Hello.
That was it. So then it was like, no, I need someone to teach me how to freaking live, because I am clueless. So I had to shift my priorities, and this is what I suggest to you. You need time secrets. You need to understand the secrets of time. Time can work for you. Time can be multiplied on your behalf. Some of you don't even know really who you are. You've been driven by somebody else for so many years that's tried to put you into a car that is not you, a make and model that is absolutely not you. And you need to come out, learn what is your pace, learn what really is passionate for you, what really does drive you, and be who you were called to be instead of being something that you're not. So that's what I found. Like, dang, man, I was trained to be a Ruby, and I ain't one. I was driven by people, driving me to be first, driving me to be the best, driving me to go after number one. It was killing me. It's not my make and model at all. Bottom line, time secrets changed my entire life. There's two major hard lessons I've had to learn. One is war on debt. The second is time secrets. These are the two biggest monumental lessons of my life. That I know I would be dead if I had not learned these two skills, how to manage money and how to manage time. So this year, I've been off this year. I'm not even working 2 days a month on average this year. so since last September. How in the world can that happen? How in the world is that possible? It is when you know how to manage time, when you know how to delegate, when you know how to raise up people, when you know how to shift things off of your plate and put them on other people's. When you learn how to do these things, you become so powerful and get so much more done with so much less time. How many of you would like to have more done with less time? And how many of you can feel that you are a slave to what you're doing? And it sucks. How many of you burn out before? Let's not do that again. Let's not do that again. Let's bypass the burnout. Let's prevent it by getting accountability and learning to master managing your time, where you're in control of your time, not your time in control of you. Does that make sense? How many of you can feel that your time is controlling you? Yep. No. The have-tos, the anxiety, the pressure. You don't have to live like that. There is a strategy. It's back at the table. It's called Time Secrets. Study it. At Creating a Dynasty, we go deeper into that study. We take time to go through managing your life, defining your life, designing your life so that you're living it by design and you're not living it by default. Because we can live our life by default and hurt ourselves physically and hurt all the relationships that are around us. If you take care of the little things, then what? You'll be made ruler over much, much, much more. And that's what you're called to. Because you're called to leadership. Your spiritual gift is leadership. That's your gifting, leadership. You are powerful leaders. And the world today is in need of powerful leadership. And I will tell you, we don't have it right now. We don't have true leadership on the earth today. We have a whole lot of people that know how to play games. But there was a time and a season in our nation where we had real leadership of people who really led in the form of family, that really led in the form for business, ethics, integrity, all that stuff. We don't live in that world today. That's not the world we're in. We're in the world of take. I'm in it for myself. I want to be rich and I want to be famous. That's our politicians. That's our celebrities. That's our business owners. It isn't about really helping a whole nation to live rightly, to make righteous decisions, to manage things with justice. We don't live in that world. Therefore, there's a void, and you're needed. And you are the people that are called to that high level of leadership. You got to come out of our culture that says it's me, my, and how I want it, and I want it fast, and I want it my way. You got to come out of that low level of leadership and come into this higher level of leadership where you can actually run the race, finish the race, set the example about how it's supposed to be set. Because our kids are watching the 90-hour work weeks. The kids are watching all the purchasing. The kids are seeing what it is that you value. And we're duplicating something that is incredibly unhealthy and that will lead to debt, pressure, and broken relationships. So you're called to a high place. And it's time to step into that high place and to get the accountability, learn how to manage your time, learn to welcome wisdom into your life. The statement that I gave last night was for you. He who hates correction is stupid. You hate correction. Wow. Hate correction. You don't like to be corrected. You don't ask for it. You don't seek it out. You don't ask for what am I doing wrong? How can I fix it? You want to hide from your weaknesses. That in itself is a weakness. And that's a deception. No, look for the weakness. Look to get it fixed. Look to get the accountability so that you can shore up those character things that are actually holding you back. Okay? So that you can reach the financial independence. It's going to take self-discipline. It's going to take shoring some things up. It's going to take cutting some things off. How many of you have already cut some things off? Then you know you can do it. Right? You know you can do it. You know it's possible. So I'm excited for you. Because I can see and I can feel that there are some of you that you really are hungry and you really are tired of the old lifestyle and you really do need to make a drastic change. You're one of those that's on the precipice. You know, you're one of those that you're at that crossroad and you're not going home with the same habits. You're not going home with the same mindset. You're not going home the same way that you were. I can see that in many of your eyes and how you've been pinging off of the weekend, all weekend. And I know who you are. There's about five of you inside of the Rubies. I've been watching you all weekend long. And you know who you are, where it's like, no, I'm not going that way. I can't go that way anymore. And you know you feel like you're going to die if you do. So you know it's a life or death situation. And I'm excited to see the kind of stories that are going to come out of you as a direct result of that. That you're taking this very, very serious and you're not screwing around with it. The other thing with, remember I was saying about your skill, that what you lack in skill you make up with time. And time is more precious than money and it's more expensive than money. When you understand the four different personalities in here and you know how to work with them, that's one of the ways that you raise up other leadership and that you're able to delegate and get things done, because you are terrible delegators. I have to do it myself. I have to do it myself. No one can do it better than me. Okay? And this hurts you. This absolutely hurts you, which is why there's no sleep. You don't eat well. You're under a lot of stress, because I can do it. I'm the only one that can get it done. And so that creates a lot of pressure for you. So learning how to motivate a sapphire, learning how to motivate a pearl, seeing the value of the pearl. These are the people that create the glue in your business. These are the people that create the stick-to-itiveness, the relationship with the people. They value something that is a weakness of yours. So you need those people for that reason. You need to have them around you. And how do you keep them around you? These people are the ones you don't keep around you often. And when you burn out, this is who you go to. Yeah, because you got to have some fun. You need a drink. You need a party. You got to get your head off of. You got to get your head out of it. You know what I mean? So it's like you call your fun friend. You know, I need to go have a good time. I got to stop thinking about what I'm thinking about. And you know, they're great distractors. Sapphires are great distractors. It's part of their job, is to distract you. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm excited, because as you learn how to motivate the sapphires to get the things done, they want to help you, they want to do it, they want to work, they want to do all of the things, and they're all about teamwork, but they're not about being number one. And when you drive number one down their throats, you put pressure on them, they don't work well under pressure, they suck under pressure, they run from pressure, okay? But they work really well with recognition and teamwork, okay? They really love the personal touch. You touch them, you sit with them, you look at them in the eyes, thank you. You look them in the eyes, you appreciate them, my gosh, they'll do anything for you. Absolutely. Ask them about their cause. Ask them about what they're working on, a project they're working on outside of the house. You know, special little card that you write to them. You'll keep these people forever. Okay? And you have to have them. They can fix your taxes, fix your accounting problems. You know, they're super consistent, very persistent, right? They're steady Eddie people, and they bring integrity and they bring high ethics to the table, because you guys have often been misjudged as not high ethical people. So, and it's because you're fast movers, can be aggressive, you're ambitious, so automatically people prejudge that and assume that you're not ethical. So you need them around, because everyone looks at them and goes, they're totally ethical, they wouldn't lie to an ant. Just to have the look of being ethical, right? And they people look at them and go, they would never hurt a mosquito. They're the ones who would take the mosquito off of them and go, wish it well outside. So, I mean, they just have that look. I mean, we know you're going to kill the mosquito, you know. So you need all of these personalities around you, so that, you know, there's a certain level of trust and attraction that each one of these gems bring to the team. If it's just all rubies, you kill each other. You crash each other's heads, argue with each other, prove that the other person's wrong and you're right, you know. It's not healthy to just be around rubies. It'll drive you nuts. So you got to surround yourself with each one of these. So invest in the skill of understanding better how to motivate each one of these personalities and how to keep them around. And just as he put on there, Gems Mastery Course, that's what I'd be studying, Time Secrets and Gems before Dynasty. That's what I would be working on, focusing on until Dynasty. Because this is all about relationships, the ones you're working with and the ones that you're living with. The more harmony and peace that you have in relationships, the more productive you are. The more money you make, the more money everybody makes when you understand people better. So I would be studying Gems and Time Secrets between now and November. Okay? All right. That concludes this portion of Gems. And you guys were awesome. Hey, Mona, do you have that list for me, babe? Wherever you are. Oh, I have the list. Here, I'll give you this. Thank you.
Trade you.
I appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
What is this?
This is little lunch announcements.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate this. Thank you so much. I appreciate all of those efficiencies. All right. Here's what I want us to do, leaving this portion. Here in a few months, Creating a Dynasty is going to be happening right here in this city. How many of you were able to get to San Antonio? So how many of you think you could find your way back here? Okay, it's pretty simple. We're just scratching the surface here with GEMS. How many of you learned a lot with this session? How many of you had your kind of scales fall off of your eyes and off of your ears? At Creating a Dynasty, for 3 solid days, you're going to be practicing speaking the other languages that are not that are foreign to you. So you're going to learn how to speak Emerald. Because as you learn to speak Emerald, no longer are you intimidated by them, but you're learning how to motivate them and how to build camaraderie with them, because you need them in your life. You need their timeliness. You need their, organization. You need their structure, their persistence, staying on track, because some tasks have to stay on track in order to get done. So sometimes you have to incorporate the efforts of somebody else's strength to cover your weaknesses. Does that make sense? Instead of putting your weakness down, realize I got strengths over here. They've got strengths in the places where I'm weak, so we got to work together. Okay? So you're going to be learning how to speak your opposite gem the first day, and then for the next 2 days, you're going to be peppering in and practicing. You're actually going to be practicing in different exercises how to get good at speaking all these gems, so that when you're done, you know how to motivate yourself and others when you're done, create harmony and peace and better productivity and better efficiencies, that the whole team can go and win together where you're not the one carrying the whole load yourself. Wow. Okay? So 3 days, Creating a Dynasty. I want you to think about the problems in your life that could have been prevented if you understood people at the level that we're going to show you how to understand, even if you understood them at the level that you just learned today. How much less stress would you have in your life? How much more productive would it be? How much more fun would you have? How many less problems would exist? How many of you say most of the problems in your life are dealing with people? That's all of us. So gaining the understanding in this area, Creating a Dynasty, is going to be profoundly powerful for you, your family, your coworkers. So I know you want to go. Who wouldn't want to go to something like that? Not only that, but you are going to design your life. We're going to spend a whole afternoon where you design your life. You live it by design. You don't live it by default. And we're going to pull out paper and pen, and you're going to write this thing out. It's not, hey, go write this out. No, right here you're going to write it out. So we actually create time in the session for figuring out what's your design? Who are you, and how do you want to live it out, and what does that look like? And then we put it on a calendar where you now set appointments for yourself to accomplish these very specific things that you want to do. Because life can be filled with distractions to where you accomplish nothing. How many of you have had that happen before? You said you were going to do something in January, and now it's December, and you didn't do it. And why? Because other priorities came in and stole the time away. So you're going to learn how to manage your life in a way to where that won't happen anymore. You're going to consciously make choices of what you focus on instead of getting pulled in 1,700 different directions. You're going to learn how to do that. You're also going to learn more about money, more about wealth. This afternoon, I'm going to show you how to pay off all of your debt in the next 5 to 7 years and to begin to learn to practice the skill of saving money. How many of you know how to make money? How many of you know the skill that I just showed you with the communication between yesterday and today can show you how to make more money? These things are going to help you increase your productivity, increase your income, okay? This afternoon, you'll learn how to save it, because that's the first step in creating wealth. You cannot become wealthy without saving money. Did you hear me? You cannot create wealth without saving money. It's impossible. You actually don't even have to make a lot of money to become wealthy. You just have to know how to keep it. Keeping it and then multiplying it, not spending it. Most of you have spent your wealth already. And that's okay. That's the past. But you have a future ahead of you that you're going to learn how to create wealth. You're going to learn the first steps of that this afternoon. You're going to learn the rest of that at Creating a Dynasty. Okay? So I want you to think about what if you actually went. And by the way, how many of you yesterday morning was powerful for you? That was nothing. That scratched the surface. We go so much deeper into going into those things from our past, the past mindsets, and cleaning up the mess. and getting rid of those things that are continuously talking to us, layer by layer by layer. So creating a dynasty, 3 days and nights, what if it was $5,000 for that event? What if it was? Our competitors have told us that that's supposed to be the rate, and we've actually hurt our competitors because we do not charge what we should be charging, and we won't charge what we should be charging because I don't feel right about it. And not only that, but if the tickets were $5,000 to get to First Steps to Success, I'd be talking to a totally different group of people that I don't want to talk to. Do you understand?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to. I don't want to be with that. I love being with rubies, and I love working with rubies, and I love teaching rubies, I promise. But it's a different group of people that that's no thanks. I much rather relate with people who are like our family. We started from nothing. We have a hope, and we want the promise, and we want to get there. We're everyday average Americans, everyday average people with terrible pasts, with lots of mistakes and lots of failures. Real people that want to move ahead. So that's why we charge what we charge. It's a certain demographic that we believe in, that we know we're called to, that we want to help rise up to a different demographic. So Dynasty's not $5,000, but I want you to consider what if it was. How many have ever paid $5,000 to go to an event before? Okay, a few of you. How many have ever paid $5,000 for something educational? Let me help you. How many of you went to college? The majority of you have spent $5,000 on something educational before. How many of you feel like you learned more in the last 2 days than you did your first year of college? And this did not cost you a year's tuition of college. Okay? And we're not even done yet. So you have an opportunity right now to get yourself registered. I don't want you to register. I want you to think about it. Think about what if you did go. Think about what the objections are, the opposition that would be standing in your way. Is it childcare? Is it money? Is it time off? Think about what the objections are, and I want you to think about how would you solve each one of those objections. Okay? Think about that at lunch. So here's a challenge for you. I'm giving you a 2% invitation. The 2% invitation is this. Here's a problem. You have to come up with $5,000 to attend an event here in San Antonio, November 12th, 13th, and 14th. Something like that. What are the things standing in my way? What would it take to solve each one of those things? I want you to learn to not think in terms of excuses, but things in terms of solutions. Okay? Did you hear me? So that's what your lunch homework is. Figure out the problem and then find the solution. And just think about it. You're not making the decision to go. I just want you to practice handling your own excuses, thinking like a 2%er, solving it, and working it out, okay? So what I do need before we go to lunch is I need this group of people. I need Chad and Summer Tucker, Kendra Murrell, Lonnie and Mindy Harrison, Stuart and Lisa Lynn, and Sean and Jamie Shepley, all to go to Derek. Where's Derek? Chad, there's Derek. Derek is right there at the sound booth, okay? And they are going to escort you to my room, and we're going to have lunch together, as these are the top promoters out of everyone in the room. So again, that's Chad and Summer Tucker, Kendra Murrell, Lonnie and Mindy Harrison, Stuart and Lisa Lynn, and Sean and Jamie Shepley. Please go to Derek. He's going to escort you up for a quick lunch that we have. You guys have an hour and 15-minute break for lunch. Please, hold on. Put the room back the way that it was before. And then come back here at, let's call it 2:15. Come back at 2:15 for lunch, from lunch. God bless you. Hope you enjoyed that.